It's 8:45 on the clock. We will call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order on May 27th, 2015. We'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open's Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Tenants by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. General agenda, approved minutes of meeting held May 13, 2015. Approve all claims through May 27, 2015 in the amount of $1,536,574.30. Accept claim number 15050365 to Johnny's Welding to be voted on below. Approve and place on file correspondence. Receive. Approve specification and call for bids for construction work on project 1022, 1025, and 1045. Bids to be opened on June 24th, 2015 at 9:30 a.m. Approve utility permit number 1018, Windstream, Nebraska, Incorporated, replacing 312 feet of bad cable with bore 6 feet below culvert and 4 feet below road in north shoulder of road located in southeast 4th of section 23T-2N R-8E, Island Grove Township. Approve utility permit number 1019, I think it's supposed to be United Private Networks, placing 2,787 feet of fiber cable in the south ditch by open trench 5 feet deep. They will bore 5 feet below culvert and road located in south 1/2 section 6 and north 1/2 section 7, Township-3N, Range-6E, East Riverside Township. Approve utility permit number 1020, Windstream, Nebraska, Incorporated, replacing 350 feet of bad cable, will trench in 4 feet deep in north shoulder of road and tie into existing pedestals located in the northwest 4th section 26 and southwest 4th section 23, Township-1 North, Range-7 East, Barnston Township. Approve receiving and place on file annual report of activities of Wymore EMS. Oh, it does say UNITE, Unite Private Networks, is that permit. It's not United. Unite. So.
I move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Tiemann. Just a couple things on the claims. $1,536,000. Two of those were transfers. We transferred $600,000 to the road and bridge, and we transferred $400,000 to an insurance fund. So that amounted to the $1 million of that. Why that was $1,500,000+.
Those are budgeted transfers.
Those are budgeted transfers and just inner transfers or whatever. So that, but they show up in the claims, and that's why it showed up as $1,500,000 this month or whatever. Dave didn't spend that much money or nothing, so we can't give Dave credit. No, not that you know of. Thank you, Dave. And then the one other thing here down here, the bids for the construction work on projects, those are all culverts that we're putting out for bids, bigger culverts. Those three projects are. So, any more discussion? If not, vote 5-0. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And not seeing anybody other than some of our employees. Approve or disapprove claim number 15050365 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $19,155.79.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Hill, the discussion, Terry?
Yes. This was a new dump box that was put on the dirt crew. It was junk. I guess the box wasn't on it, and it's one of the older trucks that the county has, but it's one of the better trucks that we have. It's a reliable truck, so that'll make a nice. It goes with the dirt crew is where it's normally used. So.
But it was a new dump box, basically.
New dump box, hoist, everything.
Any more questions? Or
is that going to get painted or stay in that nice primer?
It's painted. Yep.
Vote. Four in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Or I guess three abstaining because Bauman and Lytle aren't here either. So, committee reports. Building and grounds.
Dave, I was not able to attend the meeting as I had an IRMA meeting that morning. So, John and Eric and Dave, you can report on the situations we have.
Okay, good morning. We did talk about our security system, which I understand we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then we had another agenda item that we'll talk about later with the cleaning at the probation office. We're going to see if we can make some changes down there to help them out. And the other thing we talked about, I did ask on the west side, we have some windows that do not have shades on them. And whenever you're driving down Highway 77 at nighttime, you can see all the stairwell is lit up and you see the ceiling and all the lights and stuff. So I did ask if we could cover those up. I have had some comments from the public asking if we could do something with that. So, and other than that, I think we'll bring up the other things later on during the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Equalization, which Patty gave a pretty good report about the process, I guess. Finance and insurance, Matt's not here yet, but John, anything
else?
Let's
see. What did we have?
Under the claims, what do we do? Eric?
Well, I was just going to say on that we did find out we're a little short on insurance on that tower. Is that the time to talk about that now? I would still suggest we might up the insurance on the Blue Springs Tower just as a precautionary measure. If
you remember something. About what? Or
we had, I don't remember, but luckily I found this.
Nope.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because I didn't make a copy of it.
For the building and contents, we've got $122,301 insurance on that. We know that we're going to be $250,000, if not more, if something would happen. So I don't know if we want to go to that $250,000 range, or if we want to maybe up it to 200 and get a little bit closer. I don't know what type of costs there are involved with insurance on an asset like that. So that may be something to look into just to see what our actual.
But on the buildings and the tower and everything, we have $120,000.
Mm-hmm. It says $92,000 on the building, $30,000 on the contents. So I'm assuming the building means tower.
Okay.
But
I said it must.
You would think, yeah.
Well, is there a little building that has equipment in it down there, though?
Mm-hmm.
So I assume the contents are your electrical equipment, right. Your all that. But
all your radios and everything, yeah, which.
I mean, especially.
Add up to that pretty quick.
Especially if we're going to invest the money to update this, or even if we don't, if we go with a different tower, just in case, we'd really hate to do this twice.
I'll just throw this out. Why don't we have Don check into seeing what it would cost us additional up to make sure the tower and the building and contents are all insured, but at $250,000. I mean, is that.
That would make sense to me.
Let's have her find out, and then at the next meeting we can. Have more discussion on it then, or whatever.
Okay.
Is that doable?
Yep. I don't know.
Anything else? finance. Insurance or insurance, we probably don't have any for our county insurance there.
Do you have a question? Nothing really, I guess we haven't met or anything.
But we'll probably be meeting sometime during budget discussion and stuff. So, okay. Human resources.
John,
anything on human resources?
No, sorry.
Law enforcement, emergency management. Tim?
What do you want?
I have a note. FEMA's going to be here tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just visit a little bit about that. I know.
Actually, it's mainly going to be with Galen and then the city, so they're probably going to get to know each other pretty well. They're trying to figure out what all the total damages were, and I suppose they're going to assess it themselves and kind of get a, you know, their own visual on the work that needs to be done. Other than that, that's about all they're going to be doing.
Mark talked a little bit, Galen, too, about, and I didn't write it down, but he had some other type of fund that you had 6 months to, we had a couple bridges maybe that were undercut. There was another, some kind of other fund through the state.
It's through NDORR, yes. It's on
okay.
Major collector roads on those, and the projects have to be a minimum of $5,000 before they'll qualify. And we do have three of them that were turned into them. They also are going to be down Thursday, the email said at 1 o'clock, to go out and look at those three sites and see if they meet that $5,000 criteria.
But that's work that that's different than FEMA, because that would be required to be done in 6 months.
Yes, it's
several of those are bridges that work has to be done before then anyway for the security of the bridge. I mean, safety and stability of the bridge. Yeah.
What it was similar to what we were doing with the townships. Gail was getting with the townships, figure out what they had, similar to with us, the counties, with their roads, and kind of getting with Indoor to figure out what our local needs are to fix some of their local roads, kind of where kind of their eyes on kind of their areas.
I'm not sure yet. Mark Minnelli, when he was down Friday, I guess, or whatever, explained that one a little bit.
Yeah, these are funds that the state actually that are requested to the bench also for emergency funds. And like I said, their criteria is that it's got to be $5,000 or more. Whereas FEMA, as far as I know, there is no bottom dollar limit. You just got to meet a certain criteria. I think it's about $80,000.
Right. It's the threshold towards a certain percentage of our totaling tax income from the county.
In FEMA, you have up to 4 years to complete those projects?
I think so.
Understanding, which this one here was more of an emergency type situation. So that, the highway department and Mark and them, they're looking into that possibility, maybe getting some funding for that, because we have a couple bridges that some bank stabilization we're concerned about and stuff like that. So,
well, Mark said there's something that time started after it was approved even. There's some type of approval, wasn't it? Not our approval, but once there was a declaration made, then
NDR actually mails in a letter of intent. I think it's what they called it, and they did send that in. I don't remember the date where they actually filed with the feds on this, and it has been sent in. So, and then they come down to look at the three sites to make sure it meets that minimum requirement, and then the procedure goes on for those three that we turned in. And
Mark said you have to really kind of encourage them, because they may come down to inspect them so late that the time frame has disappeared already.
And that's why they're Galen and Mark, specifically Mark, it has gotten on this right away, so that we don't get 6 months away from the flood and then don't have time and stuff for it. So,
do you need anything from us for the people coming down from FEMA?
Not at this time, that I'm aware of.
Yeah, from my conversations with NEMA, they were saying basically I just wanted to speak with Galen and then, of course, the city, you know, whoever did the disaster, they didn't really need to see me either. So just wanted me to have a heads up saying, hey, they're going to be here. So,
yeah.
I don't have anything else at all. The conversation is going to come up later.
Yeah. Gus, anything?
Oh, yeah, agenda item later on.
Yeah, Doug was here and stuff.
So.
Yep. Road and Bridge.
Okay, Myron. Of course, as you know, the department down there, Galen's department, they've been busy trying to restore things back to weather. And it's difficult, like the farmers are experiencing, when it rains, it's hard to get those projects completed that need to get done. So they're working in between rains, doing the best they can, and an excellent job of getting things back into shape. As we just spoke about it, the FEMA. Galen's requested the township turn in damages that they have. And I think they're probably, I know he's got paperwork that deep on his desk to get through, so he's been working hard on that. Also, and these figures came from Mark, the state of Nebraska passed that 6 cents, I think, extra gas tax. And he gave us some figures that what it would mean for Gage County, the extra 2 cents, I think, is what we're going to end up getting out of that. Is that right, Dawn? I think that's what I'd wrote down.
It's evenly split, right?
Anyway, just briefly, what that would amount to would be $31,000 in 2016, and then $127,000 in 17, $222,000 in 18. $318,000 in 19, and $381,000 in 2020. And that would be come through the highway allocation funds. Those funds are specifically for restoring or repairing roads and bridges in the county. So part of that money will be coming back to the county. Basically, that's about it. We have some other items on the agenda coming up.
I'll visit about Hickory Road right away here a little bit.
Yep.
And Galen, correct me, but we did make new offers to the properties on the west side of the Blue River Bridge, and those were all mailed out and waiting for those to come back. The right-of-way, the easements, permanent, temporary, have all been done. Jeff Wagner forwarded them down to Galen and myself. They've all been completed. The design on east of the Blue River Bridge. So those we've come up with the figures or proposals for all those people. There's 14 properties east of the bridge with just 8 owners, because there's one guy that owns 5 different parcels over there, or one family does, and stuff. So those are we're still finalizing the paperwork to send those proposals out. So hopefully here in the next week, 10 days, we'll get those out, and then it's just a matter of time, hopefully before they all come back and stuff. So, and once we get the right-of-ways all done, then we did visit with Mark a little bit about the possibility of when we could go out for bid or whatever on the road. And then what we really didn't visit about is at some time we need to make a determination if we're going to do the east and the west together, which now it looks like we maybe can or should, I don't know. You know, or whatever, but we can visit about that and stuff too, or sometime make a determination. And asked Mark the other day if we could go out to bids here yet this year or late summer, and his hope was we definitely would. Now, we'll see how everything falls in place. A lot of things still have to fall in place. The easements all have to be taken care of or signed or whatever and stuff. So, but Galen in the office down there has been mailing those out, and we're just kind of waiting now for them to come back. So I know there's been some question about it. The dollar amounts and that, once the easements are signed and back in, then the dollar amounts will all be made public or whatever at that time and stuff. So
the only thing I can say, you know, the east side of the project, there's going to be quite a bit of dirt being moved, you know. I mean, that's up to the construction people, but there's a bridge over there that has to be put in place and everything else. So,
east of the Blue River Bridge, there was a total of about 4.3 acres of permanent easement. West I'll take it back. West of the Blue River Bridge, a total of about 4.3 acres. East of the Blue River Bridge, it comes up to a little bit, a total of over 11 acres of permanent easement will be, we're trying to acquire. I think it was 11.2 or something like that. 11.1 or 11.2 acres of permanent easement east of the Blue River Bridge. Very little temporary easement east of the Blue River Bridge, but part of the design was that there's more shoulder, I call them, there's a couple hills there, and they're going to be more cutting and filling. And
when they grade that, you know, you need more access on either side of the road just to straighten the road down a little bit.
Straighten the road out and design more. Right. So Mark tried to design it so that the snow would not get caught as easily and stuff. And but the design work's all done. The right-of-ways, the east of the Blue River Bridge now, they'll be mailed out here sometime in, next week, 10 days, whenever all the paperwork gets together and stuff, so... But we are progressing with that. I know Gary, wish Gary was here too, because he's about every committee meeting, Gary's had questions about it. We're trying to move the project along, and it's just thanks for Galen and specifically Mark Manelli, Jeff Wagner in their office for getting this design work done. This has been a long process, so. But it's moving forward, hopefully. So, anything else on Road and Bridge? We do have a public hearing scheduled for 9:15, but we're not quite there yet on the clock, so we will. Oh, there's a sign-up clipboard right there in front of you, Mike, on that.
There's two public hearings, so there's two sheets, one on top of the other, to sign up if we're here for either one.
Okay. If you'd like to speak or wanted to speak, there's two public hearings, so there's a sign-up sheet for each of those on there. So... whichever one that pertains to you, if you would like to, go ahead and sign that so that during the public hearing we could have you on the list. We'll skip way down to approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and State of Nebraska Department of Roads for consultant inspection and load re-rating on county fracture critical bridges. Project number STP-NBIS 102, control number 00924.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergen, seconded by Thiemann. Galen, you wanted to just let us know what that is exactly?
Yes, what this is, an agreement between the NDOR and Gage County to do bridge inspections on there's 49 fracture critical bridges on the list. And here a few years ago, the state took over the inspections. They hire consultants and they do the fracture critical inspections. They no longer, I can't tell you for how many years, but it's been 3 or 4 years that they've done this, because they want the engineers to look at them and rate them basically all the same. The Gage County, we still do our regular bridges, 20 foot and over, but not the fracture critical bridges. That's what this is, an agreement between them and the county to hire the consultants to do this work.
And approximately 20 bridges or something?
There's 49
on the list. Bridges.
Yes.
Wow.
And I think the total bill was 80.
Total cost inspections, the estimate was $88,013.22. The county's share is 20%, which is approximately $17,602.65, which we can use our cost, our soft match money to pay for our cost share of that.
And we have quite a bit in that soft match.
Yeah, we should have 200 some thousand. Yeah,
200 some thousand. So our share will be covered out of that soft match money that is still setting up at the state yet.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Galen,
yes.
Fracture critical bridge, what does that mean exactly?
Fracture critical bridge, it's all our truss bridges. Basically, it's a two-member bridge. Like on a truss bridge, your main supports, you have your two outside supports. Your floor beams are tied to them, so if one of them got hit, the whole structure could go down. Or else we have some fracture critical structures that are two main outside girders, and all your floor beam members tie into them outside girders. So if one of those outside members was hit, your whole structure could fail also. That's a fracture critical bridge structure.
We have 49 in the county, or they just inspect so many each year?
There's 49 on this inspection, and they inspect every 2 years. When they first started this, they done it every year for a couple, 3 years, and then they went to a 2-year cycle on these also. So on that.
More questions, Eric?
What's the soft match money, or where's that come from?
For years, when Gage County was building a lot of bridges and box culverts, they designed these to actually, there was a if you met this certain guidelines, that a percentage of that cost qualified for credit, and it went into a big pot, and that way on these federal aid projects, it went to our federal aid projects, and you'd use, when we built these federal aid bridge projects, we used that percentage, our 10% or 20%, whatever it was, out of that pot to pay for the county share. And but we had to build our bridges to a certain design factor to qualify to have that applied for that soft match credit fund.
That bridge that we were just talking about going to old standards, will that, or is this program still in effect then, or no, is that gone?
This program here, there won't be no soft match money needed, because here was it last, I believe it was last year when they changed that, the feds and the state picked it all up. It used to be, 10% county, 10% state, and 80% fed.
That bridge that we were just talking about changing the standards on, I think up by Adams.
We're going to go back Road.
To the old, Northwest Adams.
Is that still meet those standards?
Yes, it'll meet the standards, yes.
But they don't have the soft match credit for that project.
No, since they've done away with the way they're doing it now, the soft match funds are no longer involved in that.
These were funds that were built up over the years, but, you know, in a period of time there, and that project, that soft match fund getting more in there has ended, but they still left the fund out there. So at certain times, we will do projects, or projects we're doing will qualify for those, basically what's still sitting in that fund. So it is still a benefit for our county that we have those funds available. It's just sometimes they have to match that or whatever, or meet those requirements. So,
all right, Galen, we had talked about a little bit this morning about the culverts, the three that were put out on bids on the consent agenda. Are any of those three any of these bridges or not? Those are different structures?
No, these are different structures.
Okay.
Those three projects are actually on our one-year plan.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0. 9:13 on the clock, I guess. What's the?
We got the resolution for this part.
Oh, the resolution. Okay. The next item down on the agenda: approve or disapprove resolution on signing a project program agreement, 2015 fracture critical bridge inspection.
Resolution
15-07. Nebraska Department of Roads, project number STP-NBIS-102.
Move to approve.
Resolution.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Juergens. And this is the resolution of doing the inspections.
Yes, this is it. Resolution that NDOR is developing a transportation project on behalf of the county, and for which it intends to obtain federal funds. That's what this resolution is for.
More discussion? Vote. 6-0. I have 9:14 on the clock, so we will. Oh. So we can have her start. Lisa, would you like to start with 9:15? We have a public hearing for a proposed chicken operation. Okay. And I have 9:14 on the clock, so we'll have Lisa come up and talk about it first, and then after that we will go into the public hearing.
Did Nancy get you all kind of a packet in the drawing by chance, so you've seen and be able to look at and refer on? Perfect. Good morning. This is an application by Charles Schmidt. If you look at your map, it's in Highland Township, Section 22. Or if you're kind of using some demographics, it's just off of 14th Road, probably a quarter of a mile south of Aspen. It's being proposed. It's a 4-building poultry barn. Those buildings are 45 foot by 510. which when they're at full capacity and they're growing organic birds, they'll run 25,000 birds per building, which if we convert that into our AUs, it's 250 AUs per barn. So that puts us at that 1,000 total AUs. So our setbacks with that would be right at 3/8 of a mile, so 1,980 feet then. The application, along with Charles Schmidt, is applying for it with the help of his son, Craig, and also Mike and Jared Spang, I think, are here also today. They're putting up the barns, and they'll be operating the day-to-day operations, the management themselves. This is a facility that will be contracted with Smart Chicken. If many of you were on the board last July, and so you kind of remember the proposal that came forward in the Southern Project, for Eric, this is probably new for him, but he knows agriculture enough to know, too. But these particular barns are pretty high-tech, very well ventilated. Management's very, very high, and very well managed. This is a property. It consists of 156 acres, and so this is an allowable use. It's in an A2 district. It is allowable, but because it's a new livestock facility, our regs require that they go through the hearing process, the special use process. They've had their hearing with us, and at the same time, we advertised for our hearing. Nancy sent out 64 letters within a one-mile radius, so those individuals were notified twice. We were unable to have the first meeting. Unfortunately, we did not meet our quorum, and so at the second meeting, then we went ahead and advertised for your hearing and also for ours, too. The group, as far as the livestock confinement facilities, as you look at our regs in Nebraska, regardless of what species, Nebraska state protects through Title 130 as far as manure management and so forth. So they have a strong criteria that they have to meet as far as application of manure to area ground. But one thing to keep in mind, too, this is a dry litter. So poultry manure in comparison to hog or cattle, as we've discussed before, is a dry litter. And so the birds actually are raised on the ground. They're not in cages. And so they rotate and mill their litter and turn it over. And then later it's put out on the soil. So the Schmidts will be required to complete a manure management plan within the application. So if you look at, I think, at the map itself, as you refer to, we did have the county go out and do some drawings or some measurements from the two houses that are in question would be the Niemeyer House and also the Spilker House, and there's the proper measurements there. So they have some room there, depending upon, I think they've got a drill well and that sort of thing, but there's room there with our current setbacks. So as far as the commission, we did address some things such as the heavy traffic on the roads, whether there are semis coming in or out, also feed day-to-day operations with compost piles and just general manure. And then also we talked about stockpiling manure. A lot of times that they'll stockpile a litter, especially in the winter months, if they can't apply it to the ground. So we did talk about those management practices. So at our hearing, there was no other applicant. The applicants were the only ones that were present. We didn't hear any opposition as far as here. We did have one letter that came in to Nancy, and that was from a landowner that was a mile and a half away. And that particular landowner just had questions about to try one building instead of all four, why that wasn't feasible, just to see how much of a nuisance the neighbors would have with the barn and also what they would do with the manure and how they would go up and down the road. So, but that was through a letter process. And the applicant did direct all the questions, and we felt comfortable with their answers. So as all of you know, this is a pretty sensitive issue when it comes to determining what kind of nuisance livestock has. And as we also know that to some it's a nuisance and to others it's not. So a tremendous amount of research we went through and did with the previous operations, so we feel very comfortable that the technology is there for production, ventilation, and so forth. So as a commission, we do recommend approval. Our vote was unanimous, and I had one member absent that day. So questions?
How are we, as far as we've seen all the issues lately, as far as all the bird flu and everything we've had in Iowa and parts of Nebraska, how is this controlled in these situations?
And that would be a question for management with Smart Chicken and their contract. I can't answer that.
Okay.
You know, a lot of it is airborne, but it's like any species has diseases that contribute, but they're not contributed to, you know, to human. In fact, what you'll find when it comes to livestock facilities is that as a poultry producer, they're more sensitive to another poultry producer being close to them, just as we would in the swine field, where we'd rather have as much distance as we possibly can for disease purposes among herds. So, but Smart Chicken, I think, has a very strong set of guidelines as far as their biosecurity practices and what they do. But I can't answer.
They're being very smart, right?
They are, I think. It's a huge investment for both the producer and also for, you know, the corporation. So.
Thank you very
much. Yeah. Any other questions?
The manure use plan, though, that's in place, or that
it will be once they finalize. It's part of the application process. Plus, this through Title 130 and the DEQ, Nebraska DEQ requires them to file their management practice, and so we just in turn take a copy of that and apply that to our permit process once everything's in go. So, the biggest thing for them is, they want to move forward, but the best thing is that they figure out if the neighbors and everybody's okay and the county's okay with it before they can do that. So, but other questions? Okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Need a motion. It's 9:22 on the clock to enter into a public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. And this is a public hearing to hear support and or opposition from the public on special use permit number 2015-2 for placement of poultry barns located in the northwest one-fourth of Section 22 Highland Township. A vote, 6-0. We are in a public hearing. On our list here, we have four people on the list. I guess Craig probably, or whoever would like to first come up and explain it probably first. We won't necessarily go in order of on the list, but whoever would like to explain the project first, and then we'll have the others talk after that. So, name and address.
Craig Schmidt, 678 South 25th Road, Cortland, Nebraska.
Good. Now go ahead and, like you did at the zoning hearing, explain your project.
Well, I'm Craig Schmidt, and Charles Schmidt, who's my father, and Jared Spang and Mike Spang, we're looking at proposed putting in a poultry facility for Smart Chicken. Each barn will have approximately 25,000 birds. I guess what we're looking at doing is growing for them. What questions do you have for me? I guess I can probably be easier for me to answer questions for you.
Explain a little bit of the zoning, that there's possibility that this will be more range-free, or some guidelines you're looking at there?
The birds will be basically, what we're looking at is an organic free-range bird, which means that we're not going to use any hormones or there won't be used any antibiotics on those birds. Free range is their guidelines. What that would consist of is probably pens between the barns, which on maybe a day like today, if you may want to go outside. Most of the time they really won't ever go outside. Because they're pretty territorial animals to their feeders and stuff like that. So as far as the project in and of itself, we've done a lot of homework on how to manage the birds and how to manage the litter and how to manage the dead ones. I know SMART is looking, is wanting to expand their operations, and just thought it looked like a good opportunity to, diversify our farming operation. Been in the livestock business, and we're, you know, in the corn and soybean business, and so, you know, so we're very familiar to raising livestock, and chickens is probably a little bit different, but, you know, thought, well, you know, let's expect, you know, maybe work into that. So
is there potential for growth of more buildings there, or is this about the size?
On this particular area, that's as far as we can go there. I mean, in other areas possibly. Yeah.
And this is pitless? There's no...
No, it's a dry floor. It's a dirt floor barn, and which helps in managing the odor coming from the barn. You know, we try and keep the static air pressure moving through that barn, and so there's no moisture getting into the barn. And so when you got that much air movement, and being it's dry, the smell is pretty minimal. Upon applying the litter, you know, if you would have a cloudy, you know, damp day, or if you would get a rain directly after, yeah, you would probably have some smell from the litter. Generally, we're looking at with SMART, is talking to the guys over there, you know, with the barns, we can schedule our major clean out a year. So, I mean, between flocks, you know, we would not have to do a major clean out where we'd be hauling out litter. And so we could kind of schedule that into our season when we were, you know, less busy, and be able to haul that litter out, and probably in times of the year that wouldn't probably affect the community quite so much.
So is there a rotation? What's the life cycle? Will all the barns be full all the time, or do you rotate those?
Well, we're hoping, you know, what we would do is the birds go out in 51 days. So we would rotate, you know, hopefully there'd be one barn going out, and then, you know, we would try and schedule it so that there would be birds going out maybe every other week or so. And usually there's a 14-day period between, he was telling us, 10 to 14-day period for us to do our maintenance and upkeeps between flocks, between bringing another group in. So, I know at the last meeting we talked about, what we would do with the birds if we had, you know, because you do have a probably, you know, just like in any livestock facility, you can have a death loss, and usually it was around 7%, and we talked about composting that. We would put in what they call like compost bins or compost bunkers, that they'd have to be on concrete. And generally you take your mortality rates, generally you'll lose your most birds within the first probably 20 days, you know, probably 10 to 15, yeah, somewhere around that 10 to 15 days when they're little. And so how you compost them is you put them in, and then you put either some litter, dirt, or corn stover, or bean stover, or something over the top of that. And you have to kind of have it can't be totally dry, but moist, and then you leave it in that compost bin for, I think it's around 20 days, and then you move it over into another bin, which allows air and heat to work back into the compost. And they break down pretty fast then.
And this compost bin is part of your design that will be built?
Yeah.
Where is that in relation to?
I don't know. It isn't on that sheet. It'd be on the site. That's just a picture of the buildings and stuff.
Visited with some people over in Tecumseh here, and yes, Smart Chicken, they're getting the framework up for expanding their operation. Mm-hmm. Processing operation over there. So, and you can see it when you drive through that area of the town, that we've got some of the metal frame up on it already. So Smart Chicken is expanding over there.
Yeah, I mean, they're really growing. Just talking with the guys from the company, I mean, their product is on the West Coast, and you know, on the East Coast. And Hy-Vee is a big supplier of their, but I mean, they're doing really well, and they really are wanting to have, you know, barns and operations around here. That way they don't have so far from the facility. He was talking with one of the guys over there, in Iowa, the farmers over there, are really wanting to go, and they just, like he told me, being 5 hours away from their operations, you know, those birds, you know, start to shut down after 3 hours of being away from the feeder. So, you know, the closer they can be, the better for them. And so.
Any more questions? Craig? Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Jared Spang, would you like to talk? Name and address for the record.
Jared Spang, 943 East Ash Road, Cortland, Nebraska. Craig pretty well summed that all up, but I'd be the one doing the daily chores for the most part with Craig and Charles's help. I spoke with just kind of like the neighbors. You said that they're all in agreement. I talked about five of them. I called them a couple weeks ago, and they were all for it, and they just had just curiosity as to what it all entailed and stuff like that. But I don't know. That's all I have, I guess.
It's good to have some young people interested, I'll tell you that. So, yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Jared? No. Thank you. Mike Spang was listed on here, too, but not to talk. And then Charles Smith, if you wanted to speak.
I really don't have anything to add. I think Craig said everything needed.
Okay. Is there anybody else here that would like to speak for this public hearing?
I just want to address one issue.
Go ahead, Lisa.
The question was on the compost pile. So keep in mind that the measurement to the nearest will be measuring the quarter or the third of a mile from the compost, whatever source of odor or source, in this case of manure, which would contain manure. So that third of a mile, depending upon where that compost bins would be in a measurement if it was the closest to the residents, whatever, from both sides. So, but.
Thank you. Is there anything else you wanted to add, Lisa, too, or anything, because we're done otherwise with people talking? So, okay. Any more questions from the board? Otherwise, entertain a motion to leave the public hearing at 9:33.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 6-0. As we normally do here, we will vote at our next board meeting on June
10th.
That's when we'll vote to approve or disapprove this as a board and stuff. So unless there's something else that needs to be done, I guess, quicker than that. But that's normally the policy of our board, is to give our board time to, if they want to, after somebody's talked, to go out and look at the site or to ask other questions or check with you. So in 2 weeks, we'll schedule a vote then for the permit. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. We do have another public hearing at 9:45. And if there are some people here for that public hearing, we have a sheet going around. There should be a clipboard there, Mike, on that front row to talk on that one. And if you'd like to talk at the public hearing, we need your register on that sheet then, anybody else. So, and that one is concerning the Barnston and Liberty Fire District. Next here on the agenda, approve or disapprove agreement with Allstate Tower for repair on the Blue Springs Tower. And Tim, talk a little bit about that, or Roger.
Well, I sent you, should have a copy of that agreement that was given out by Allstate Tower. Other than That's pretty self-explanatory what they were wanting to do and what we kind of need to do for that tower to get it at least to where we can extend the life of it. I thought I had a copy of it in here. But let's see here.
You talked about increasing this to make it with current standards or closer to current standards, maybe with some re-guying and some new hardware. Is this going to get us closer to that?
That,
if you need a copy. There's some turnbuckles, maybe some guys with some more girth to them.
This was basically increase the, to meet the regulations that they've changed every, so often. And one main reason why it failed the analysis was because of it didn't meet that or whatever F regulation, whatever it was at that point. I did ask around a little bit about increasing that, but it's going to cost considerably more to do that, add the torque arms star structure, whatever it was to. And what that basically would do would add more guys to it. The original, when we first discussed about this, I wanted to point out too, is they had it right around about 80,000. If you look at the very bottom, it says furnish and install proper guy wire pull-off mounts. And my first discussion with them was we kind of wanted to have an idea of price from basically the minimal, which basically put it to weight it was. And I didn't really like that because they were basically going to loop that cable back around the structure like it is currently, like it was first originally done. So I had them add those wire pull-off mounts, which those have to be fabricated to meet that tower, to fit that tower. So that's why it costs so much, apparently. And of course, we'd have to have, six of them added to the structure for each set of guys. So that's,
are those a weld-on unit, or are those a...
They're removable, from my understanding. So if we're to ever to re-guy them, or if they were to ever deteriorate, we could replace them individually instead of... and it'll save that pipe structure itself from any type of wear. Instead of what'll be wearing would be that mount, not the pipe structure, not the structure of the antenna itself.
Now, as you go up and down that tower, that cable's just connected right around the pole tower. Yeah.
And that was one of the concerns with the analysis, was that since they didn't really climb, they couldn't really see if there's any type of wear of those cables, as old as that tower is, cutting away at that tower. So they couldn't really say, that's what it was doing. When we had the inspection, they took pictures of it, and there was no wear from that cable cutting away at that pipe. But the pipe structure is a problem, because if you start cutting away at that, that's going to start creating that structure to fail, and then we could have a serious problem, because that'll be the mounting point for that tower.
Now, are they giving us the length of time that this should extend the life of this?
They were saying right around 15 to 20 years.
Okay.
And that's the continual maintenance as well, and an inspection like every 3 to 4 years. Painting about that same time, but that inspection kind of tell you whether or not it needs to be painted or not. Their thoughts with that current painting job that was done, it wasn't done very well. As if you can see some of the pictures, it looks like it was very, just kind of brush, brushed over it, and it wasn't very consistent.
That last estimate they gave us, it was 20 to 25 years is what their additional length of life was on this 40, 50-year-old tower. And our new life expectancy was 25 to 40 years or something.
Yeah, 40 years, something like that, yeah.
Maybe it would be. I just, Terry might be the one to ask on this. If there's no fatigue at those connection points, I guess if we're going to try to stretch this out another 25 years, what do you think about the cables connecting there?
Well, the main thing to me is this tower going to be in the long-range plan for Gage County Communications, and is that what we're fixing it up for? Is that what we're doing? I mean, there's been a lot of, I don't know if we ever got a long-range plan on which direction we're actually going. I mean, with communications, we're going to talk about this later, I know, but is this something we want to do? Or are we going to, is this in the long-range plan to keep this tower?
I think we're stuck with putting a tower somewhere. That tower, there has to be a tower down there to keep that,
okay,
that area working correctly. When we start moving a tower from here or whatever, 3 miles east, west, north, south, whatever direction, whatever, you know, place we find, we start losing range somewhere in other directions. So you start, you know, Barnes could be at a problem if we move it a little too far west. We could do the same thing with Odell. If we move it a little further east, we can lose some range there, coverage there. So
this is definitely in the long-range plan then?
Yeah, I would really like to say that tower would stay there.
When was the tower built? When was it erected?
The earliest date I got was basically from when the land was purchased, and that was in
69,
I think.
8 or 9.
So it's been standing for...
That's just a guesstimate of, yeah.
Plus years. 40 plus years.
Yeah. And there's no wear on those cables up there now?
Nope.
My theory is always this: if it isn't broke, why fix it? But
see, that was one of the things also with the structure like that, with the pipe structures, they're always concerned about the rust from the inside.
Right. But this plan isn't doing anything with rust from the inside.
No. But when that's what they said, the tower, they would resell the tower if they tore it down, if they could tear it down, you know, nicely.
Yeah.
They would resell some of the segments, you know, what were good, or if they found any defects in it. But one of the telltales on that tower was that there were, you know, those had the weep holes at the very bottom, and, you know, that's where the rust and moisture eventually drops. Well, when they went there, there was those weep holes are about inch hole on each three of the legs, and there was no rust in there. And usually what they've seen with that is that the rust piles up so far, and you start cleaning out the rust, and the water just comes running out of it. There's nothing like that in there. Those weep holes are clear, and they are dry.
And how certain are we that there's no rust on the inside of this?
You're not certain. You'd have to do a whole, like they were saying, I asked them about that, you'd have to do an ultrasound inspection, and of course then you'd have to do each leg all the way up.
And I guess I still have the concern that we're going to spend this amount of money on a structure that wouldn't start to meet the current zoning regulations for our county. I mean, our current regulations would put it 1,000 feet from any residential zoned area or structure. And, you know, I'm not sure how tall this tower is, but the legend has it when it was laid out, it went past the first house there.
Well, I've seen different measurements. This latest inspection was 490.
Yeah.
I've seen to where it's 440. You know.
From what Mark said, when they put a new wire up for the lights, or they ran a wire for something, the tower was not permitted at 485, but they had 485 feet of cable they needed. It was permitted. Well, it was. It was permitted less than that, and he applied for a new permit so that we were permitted to 485. We were permitted around the 450, but it was it's in the neighborhood of 485 feet because that's how much cable they needed because they went up. They'd cut the wire a certain length. They went up with it, and it didn't reach. So they had to go back and get another cable. And this was probably, I don't know, Mark was still here. Mark Mines was still here when they did that. So I don't know exactly when that was and stuff. So,
two questions. Matt. One, did we ever find out about insurance coverage?
We talked about that a little bit. Don's checking. It's not high enough right now. It's a combined of 122 between equipment and tower building property. We know we're going to be a quarter of a million.
She's going to get us a quote by the next meeting or look into what it would to make sure the tower is included on it and up to the possibility of $250,000, what that would cost. Go ahead.
Well, no, that's good enough. And so I'm looking at the bottom of this quote here, and I'm not suggesting, even though the terms are 30 days, that we put this on a MasterCard, a Visa, or American Express for almost $92,000. But which fund is this proposing to come out of? Or should we wait till next budget year to budget for it?
I've talked to them about next budget.
You have roughly $103,000 left in your budget, and Gus, you want us to take this out of your budget?
That's a wise idea.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to put cold water. I'm just saying that, you know, we've got something we need to deal with here that just kind of come up. We hadn't planned for that, but it's $90,000+ that we don't have in the budget. Now, we have other dollars we can move around and get creative, but we don't have that budget.
I was figuring next budget, this coming budget. Okay. One other thing that isn't part of this, and what they recommend was, and I talked to John about this, and we may have talked about it before, was bulwarking the anchors and guy wires there where they come into the ground. You know, what they're going to be doing, they're going to totally take out or re-anchor, you know, lay concrete, a whole new anchor, the whole structure itself. And then, we need to actually protect them because some of that issues with those bent turnbuckles and the bent those fan plates, was, you know, obviously there's some alfalfa around there and some, I don't know exactly what them, sure they use a swather to mow that. We need to protect those a little bit better. And
that's the other part of this bid that's not included. We'd have six sets of fencing around us.
Right. They said they could include this into the bid, but they're just going to find a local contractor themselves, and of course you have to pay them and you know.
And I know you think we're better off with our own tower, but I guess before I could vote to approve this, I'd want to see the alternate proposals.
Yeah. I still haven't got hold of them yet. I haven't got with them with that information.
And you know, possibly get it out of the area.
One other quick thing, though, Terry, there. In the packet that was all passed out, they showed a picture of one of the guy wires up there around the frame. Mm-hmm. This one here doesn't show any rust on, but all of the new towers that are made, they have another layer of, and that's what this bottom thing here has talked about, the guy wire pull-off mounts or whatever. Mm-hmm. They put those mounts on there so that that...
Right. It's not direct
contact.
Hopefully you're
not direct on there. That should make the cable last longer and or the tower itself last longer.
See, the problem with our structure is that it's a hollow structure. It's not a solid structure. Yeah. And, you know, most of the towers are now solid structures, and so that's the issue with how they did that. And it's probably fine back when it was installed then, you know, but after after the years have gone, they have seen that there has been an issue with having that cable wrapped around there and wearing away at those hollow structures, and that's one way to stop that.
The new towers are solid?
As far as I've been told is they're solid.
Oh, it's going to make them a lot heavier.
It does.
Yeah, that seems odd.
I don't know. Roger, you have?
Just a couple things I suggest, depending on where you go with this today. There's no start-finish on this contract as far as when they're supposed to get their project going, and if you don't do that, you may find yourself way late as far as getting... accomplished. So that's just a suggestion. I don't know if you've talked about that. The other thing, Matt brought it up, is 30 days net. Usually you got progress payments that are verified, and I realize it's $100,000. So I always like to see retinage funds, even though there's little stuff on the back that you should have had a magnifying glass for. They don't require or don't allow retinage funds. That bothers me. I mean, I don't know nothing about these people. I trust they're very good and all that, but I don't want to be sitting halfway through a project and we've paid them everything and they don't come back from Kentucky. So I just a couple things I think we can, you know, if you approve this, we need to get those items covered.
But I agree. I'm not sure I can vote to approve it until I have more information. I need to see what alternatives are, and there are too many questions here relative to this. And we look at the tower that we've had that's lasted 40, 45 years, and we got to get rid of it. And I, you know, new is not always better. And so I'm afraid I can't vote to approve this today without more information. I'm like John.
And I think we also need to have some references for this company as to some projects they've done similar to this.
That's easy.
I mean, we are spending half the price of a new tower here by the time we're done.
That's what, you know, like I said, it is expensive, and, you know, we're kind of in an area where we either put money into this one or put the money towards a new tower, but then the problem with a new tower is that it can't be in that same location, and so we're going to cause issues with coverage, and that's what we don't want, is the issues with coverage, and we're having radio issues. Then we have radio issues, and then we spent a whole bunch of money on a new tower, and it's not getting what we need done.
Eric?
And I doubt we'd do anything today. I mean, I think that makes sense to just you know, we've got some more information here. I would suggest if we do go with them or whoever, we probably have Roger draw a contract up that they sign that's ours instead of we.
I would suggest we can work with them. Most of these folks, here's our contract. They paid for it. That's what they're comfortable with.
Right.
Decide us on this. If there's any questions, it's Henderson County, Kentucky. I don't plan on going back there. I don't have a Kentucky license, nor do I want one. So we want to get it as right as possible. And, again, they know what they're working with. And I'm not casting aspersions on these folks. I think Tim's done a good job as far as looking them up, finding them. You've worked with them when they inspected the tower.
They seem very workable with whatever we wanting to do.
Some of these things, like I say, start and finish on it. And, again, we're going to have to go with their schedule. When you guys decide you want this done, if it's next fiscal year or whatever, they'll have to schedule it within their work program.
Right. Yeah, whatever you – if you have any, lists that need to be made, then, we can just give it to them. And
seriously, I mean, we could be negotiating with these folks for a long time, and they'll just go like this. So you'll have to get somebody else. And I know he's looked in Nebraska to see if we've got companies here. So
this company had done some other inspections in Nebraska, and I don't know about work, but I know because when they were going to come and inspect ours, they inspected one up at York or somewhere else you had also.
It was Creighton.
Yeah, and stuff. So, but no, I guess unless anybody really wants to vote or to approve it or not approve it, I guess we'll table it and table it for a future meeting. Some of this stuff, Tim, if that's doable, you can get some of this information. And then our next committee meeting, we'll have a discussion on this. Because this is, we know the tower is not brand new. We've had some estimates of what a new tower would cost. We also know that we have to have something down in that area for communications for the county, or not only the sheriff's department, but also for the rescue squads and the fire departments. And doing nothing is not a solution either and stuff. So we will continue discussing it and seeing what we come up with or what we end up doing or whatever, what we do with that tower or a different tower or whatever. But thank you for the work you're doing, but we still need some more information, some more data.
Like I said, let's look at it as, you're putting $90,000 into a tower that you know it works and you're extending its life. If that's worth it, then that's worth it.
Thank you very much. And we do have a time agenda. I apologize. We have a time agenda at 9:45 for a public hearing. And we do have a sign-up sheet around for that. But I need to entertain a motion to go into a public hearing at 9:53.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. And this is a public hearing for approval to hear support and or opposition from the public on changes to fire district boundaries of the Barnston Rural Fire District to include territory within the incorporated limits of the Village of Liberty, Gage County, Nebraska, also known in the records of Gage County, Nebraska's Tax District 150, Tax District 164, and Tax District 175. Vote. 6-0 to go on a public hearing. Mr. Willett.
Thank you.
Name and address.
Name is Michael Willett, partner in Willett and Brothers, 2205 North 6th Street, Suite 10A, Beatrice. We're here on behalf of the Village of Liberty and also the Barnston Rural Fire Protection District. Those two political subdivisions have approved a joint resolution asking that tax districts 150, 164, and 175 be included in the Barnston Rural Fire Protection District. Long before I was around to deal with these kind of things, I'm told the history of the matter was that when Liberty disbanded its rural fire district, that these tax districts were then just left as part of the Village of Liberty, which has not had a fire department for years and years and years. If you live in one of these three tax districts and you have a fire, the people that come to try to put your fire out are the Barnston Rural Fire Protection folks. And what has happened then for all these years is they've gotten fire protection and not had to pay any tax for it. In discussions between the boards of the two entities, they felt this just was fundamentally not a very fair situation. If you lived across the street outside the corporate limits of the Village of Liberty, you were paying tax to the Barnes and Rural Fire Protection District for the fire protection you got. If you lived anywhere else in the district for Barnes and Rural Fire Protection, you were being taxed. But if you lived in one of these three tax districts that's inside the corporate limits of the Village of Liberty, you didn't have to pay any tax to support your fire department. To their credit, the village board of the Village of Liberty said, you know, that's not right. We get the protection. These people ought to pay the tax, too. The Barnes and Rural Fire Protection District said, yeah, that ought to be right because then everybody's going to pay. That's what they're asking to do. The only step that would remain if you approve this is that then technically the folks on the Barnes and Rural Fire Protection District Board put themselves up for re-election, because once you add these three tax districts back in, then the next step is there has to be a public meeting to elect a new board of directors because you've changed the boundaries. So there is a little bit of risk for the Barnston board, I guess, but that's something they're willing to take because they think if you are in essence and physically in that district and receiving that protection, you ought to pay the tax like everybody else. And that's all we're asking the board to do, is to approve that joint resolution to put those three tax districts in the tax district for the Barnston Rural Fire Protection District. Do you entertain any questions if anyone had any?
About how many people does this involve, or what? Any idea on any kind of numbers, or?
I know one of the Liberty folks is here, Mr. Tite.
Population of Liberty right now is 41.
41.
And some of Liberty is in.
Will such increase in taxation okayed with the governor?
He may veto you. But he doesn't have much luck with overrides here lately, so.
Any more questions?
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We don't have anybody else on the list here to speak.
That's fine. Thank you. Okay. Only thing I can tell you is how it happened.
Oh. Well, it's one of those situations that trying to correct something that
should have never happened.
Should have never happened, and I guess I don't know if it hasn't been known or. And nothing's been done to take care of this situation for years, and coming before the board to do that with resolution.
Helen Moore and I have worked on this for.
Come forward.
Come on up here. Yourself. Give your name and address for the record and talk. Then.
Roger Ty, Liberty, Nebraska. Helen Moore and I have worked on this for how many years, Don?
Quite a while. I don't know.
When it first started, I called the state auditor. That's who I was supposed to talk to, you know, and she told me, she says, well, that's real easy, Roger. All you got to do is go to your county attorney and have him write up a resolution and take it down to the courthouse, and they'll put it on there. Well, that was a joke.
Put a time frame on that, will you?
What?
Put a time frame on that guy.
It wasn't him. Don't worry.
Previous county attorney.
It's that one we had that wasn't worth a damn. But anyway.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, this come about years ago. Liberty had two fire districts, a rural and a city. And when the rural dissolved, it went to the Barnston, which it should have because it's all the way around it. But when the city dissolved, I have no clue what happened. It just flew by the wayside, and that was it. And Mike asked me how many years ago it was, and I'm not too sure I can tell you. I don't think they had a city fire department when I moved there in 1964. But I don't know that for sure. I can't remember, but I'm positive they didn't. But I know, and what really surprises me is the people that live in city and they have property there that they can buy fire insurance. Because if an insurance company knew this, I'm not too sure they could get fire insurance if they don't have protection. You know, that's a good question. I can't believe they've gotten by this far, but I assume everybody just writes down they get the Barnes Fire District and they get by with it. But if they would have checked, I don't know if they could have got it.
All right.
You know, but I don't know. But we've worked on this a long time and tried to get it through, and this is what it ended up. That's all I can say.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Anybody else for the public hearing? Not it. Entertain a motion to go out of public hearing at 9:59.
Moved. Second.
A motion by Bauman, second by Hill. Vote. 6-0.
Okay, we have a resolution here that Roger.
We have
15-08.
What?
15-08.
Yeah, next on the agenda is approve or disapprove resolution on changes to the fire district boundaries of the Barnston Rural Fire District to include territory within the incorporated limits of the Village of Liberty, Nebraska, 15-08.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Bauman. Normally in public hearing, sometimes we wait 2 weeks. We decided this, because of the situation and everything else, to just go ahead and wasn't anything to go out and see or anything. And Mike was here, I believe, a month and a half ago to visit about this process and what was taking place. So we've been all made aware of it and all had time to look into any issues we were concerned with. So more discussion. Vote 6-0. So thank you guys for coming. And if somebody from Liberty calls us, Roger will try and forward them back to you about increased taxes. So, no.
We talked about this, and we said, well, if you do like they did in Pennsylvania a while back, back there they have to give the tax personally to the fire department. They had a house that was on fire, and they didn't pay the tax. They protected the two on each side because they did. Let it burn down.
Oh, oh, brother.
Thank you, guys. Next on the agenda, discussion on economic development update and the Engage contract. And I see Glennis is here. Glennis, would you like to talk? Our contract with the city, or well, I've met you here otherwise, our contract with the city and the county and the city's contract, I should say, with Engage is up for renewal here on July 1st or July 1st. Glennis? You or Matt, however you guys
what I had Dawn do was give a copy to all the board members of the current agreement and the most recent bylaws secondary to the changes that were made over the last couple of months. Just wanted everyone to be aware of that. So if you've got any questions, Glennis was here. One of the things that came up in the last strategic or the last economic development meeting were membership investment levels. That was new, and that was proposed change. And I'm just going to name a few things here, and then we'll just let Glennis kind of go through them. Proposing to do a housing study in Gage County is still progressing towards that. And then the other thing was a strategic plan proposal by a Cambrian group, and I believe that everybody, is that this, that's this mm-hmm. document here? I think everyone got a copy of that as well. So just to give people some information about some things that were discussed in the meeting, and I'll just turn it over to Glennis and let her speak to them.
Okay, keep me on track here, Matt, as far as covering the issues. Okay, but I think one of the relatively easy ones is the membership investment levels. We did have in our bylaws those membership and investment levels from the very start, but we've just tweaked those a little bit. There were some big gaps in between different levels, and just taking a look at what other organizations have done in trying to raise private funds and assistance to economic development, we've added on a couple of those levels and maintained the founder membership for the city and the county. And as you look at your new contract, as your funding stays, hopefully, you continue on as a founder member. We did change that where we're asking for $100,000, up to $100,000 per year. It was, you had a 3-year commitment before. I did get a note this morning. The city council had their work session last night, and they agreed. They'll vote on it June 15th, but they've agreed to, or they've in general agreed to a 3-year commitment again, just to continue a stability for the organization, but also with the understanding that we're moving towards, as we've improved, I think, these membership levels, we're moving towards that, looking for private investments, because I think the more private assistance we can obtain, the less we have to depend on, public funds, but those public funds, like the 840 funds in the city, can be used then to encourage businesses to come to grow here and so on. Because if we aren't using the funds, then we have that sort of as a war chest to, encourage, business growth and development here. So it's one way or the other, it'll be used for economic development. And you can see why I think it's important to be seeking
between the private memberships and investment levels. And communities all around us have done very well with that, and we're ready to go. We just wanted to tweak those a little bit and see what you had to say. One of the questions regarding that then is, it came up and it's been discussed, and I think also the City Council discussed it last night, was, you know, if the county and the city are the larger, you know, members, investors, what do you want to do about the votes? As we add private memberships, then up to anybody above $1,000 on up, like Cortland, as you know, Cortland and Adams have invested with us. They get a vote as a member, and those, that generally occurs when we have our annual membership, and they get a vote. Generally, what's happened, they're voting on our board of directors. So the question that's been discussed in our board meetings is, and it's really, that's our question to you, is, do you believe that as a larger investor, your vote should be weighted? And I understand the city, you know, conversation last night was that it was back and forth, but I think they said, no, we aren't going to worry about weighting those votes at this time with their level of giving. So that's a question for you guys to let us know. And then we would go ahead and, you know, make this bylaw change and be ready with these investment levels. So that's a key question there for that. Okay? Yeah.
Your current bylaws would allow a private investor organization to have a vote on this.
Would have a member vote, which would be our, sort of at our annual meeting. And that's, again, mainly they're voting on board of directors.
And that's been some of the clarification I've even given to the public is that it, having a vote doesn't put you on the board. No. At the annual meeting when they're voting for officers, it provides some input. So it doesn't make that person a board member, and they don't send a representative there. So that's a little different.
Right.
But right now the four votes are Beatrice, Gage County, Cortland, and Adams.
Right, because they've been the investors, right? And, you know, again, Adams and Cortland have had one vote. You guys have had one vote and that kind of thing.
I guess, personally, I do not like the idea of voting based on investment, you know, that it should become some type of board within Engage that makes those decisions.
Right. Okay.
That's my thought.
Okay. And, you know, and again, you have, and we've clarified that, you have, you know, a representative from your board on our board to speak on your behalf and to vote on your behalf on ongoing issues. So, yeah. Okay. So, and then I guess the housing study
maybe,
was...
Maybe speak to that a little bit.
We are developing a housing study committee, and we had a committee to take a look at a couple proposals that we received. But right now we are in the midst of writing a grant proposal for NYFA so that half of our housing study can be paid for. And definitely paying attention to the fact that it's going to be a countywide housing study. And so looking around the county for representatives, and we have some, and you know, they suggested that we include a few major employers in that. I've talked to the mayor of Odell, and he had a suggestion from Cortland, and so on. So we're trying to add, and also the mayor of Waymore, I've got someone that's, you know, agreed down there, I think, to help us with that. So I can't say exactly how much they're going to meet, but they really help sort of promote what we're doing with the housing study, kind of look at the results, you know, all of those kinds of things. It'd be really helpful to have a countywide committee to work with us on that. So
you made an offer too for the county to have someone on there, and I've spoken with some, and we will.
Okay.
We will plan on having somebody on there too on that.
So let me know as soon as you can, because they think it's probably a good thing if I can gather that group and have a meeting before that grant application goes in, which is supposed to be by the end of June. They'd like to have it ready for us by the middle of June. So we're getting close to that. But okay. So
on the housing study, what's our end result on that, or what are we hoping for on that?
Well, I think it's really to look at, analyze the needs. Of the needs and locations, I understand that our, you know, housing stock currently is down, and in order to attract people here, and I guess it really came up as I was visiting with a lot of the larger businesses, in fact, the diesel, biodiesel plant that's come in, they really had some difficulty in some cases finding places for their for their top level, you know, folks to come in and live. And of course, we are encouraging them to live in the county, you know, don't live outside the county kind of thing. And so, but they said, oh, it was really difficult. So, you know, we started to hear that message over and over again. So, I think this will help to know, analyze the needs, and then, you know, look at, different opportunities, I guess, for developers that, you know, here's the information, here's what we need to do, and then try to move forward with an implementation plan on increasing, improving new housing stock.
I know it would be tough, but I would encourage on the group that's going to be talking, if you could get some potential developers or maybe some home builders.
Right.
I remember seeing the last two studies I saw, we needed this and we needed that, and there was some development done for those areas. We've got a lot of empty lots because of that last study. I think you're right. The upper level is the tough one. You're not going to find a lot of people to build houses
right
for that need because that's generally a custom type home. But I don't know. I guess I'm a little apprehensive on the housing studies. They've said the same thing each time I've seen them. And like I say, that last one, people put a lot of money out. And there's a lot of empty lots sitting there still because of that one. So that's where I'm just wondering, where are we going to go with this? Or,
you know,
are we going to get the same information?
Yeah.
I'm really curious. I'm optimistic, but I'm really curious. Are we going to get the same type of numbers, the same type of information back? And
you know, and I haven't experienced that myself, so I'm not sure. And I think it's been quite some time since there has been a housing. And I understand that there's needs all across, you know, rural communities in Nebraska, and so we're not alone. And you know, hopefully we're working on some, you know, aggressive solutions, you know, once we have that study. And I think once you have the study, then you have that opportunity then to seek funds for development and so on. Without the study, you really don't have anything to go on in making those requests. So
And then maybe the strategic plan proposal that was out there by the Cambrian group, and this was a group that the school system had apparently used sometime before.
And we've just had one meeting on this, and then we talked about it at our board meeting, and Matt was there. It's the spirit of cooperation, collaboration, that type of thing, working with the school district, the city, Main Street in the chamber. We all talked with Bill Cook of the Cambrian Group, who's very experienced at, you know, at the strategic planning. They've done a lot with schools. And the school district, I guess they're at the point where they need to update. They did one 5 years ago, and they really utilized it. They really got a lot out of it. And we were just invited in for that discussion and to hear, you know, a proposal, or I guess we received a proposal in the end, but to visit about that idea of jointly thinking strategically. And I think it's, you know, the idea is for sure a good one, in that, we understand what the city's thinking and doing with their planning and how do we fit with that. But I also think, of course, you know, we've got more of a challenge, I guess, with Engage, because we also need to pay attention to what's going on with the county. So,
well, I noticed the county isn't included in that group.
Well, again, I think that, you know, hopefully we're a representative there, but not to say you couldn't be. So that's why discussion. Again, we've just had one meeting on that, and I definitely, the Cambrian group is very experienced, and they started off, I guess, they do a lot more of school strategic planning and help with that, but they started off years and years ago, and they did a lot of community planning. But they really were very intrigued by the fact that we have groups here that want to work together. It's not just one entity. So we would definitely like to have your feedback and input on that as well. So that's what we're asking and seeking right now.
We want to make it clear that this William J. Cook Jr. PhD is not our Bill Cook.
No, different, yeah.
Okay. So it is a different Bill Cook in case anyone would get confused.
I think he's from Alabama, so yeah.
And I don't think our Bill Cook has a PhD.
Oh, okay.
Well, to bring this forward is because I think it's important that we talk about this as a board, and there is a $54,000 price tag. And so if you look at what, you know, we're obligating from a county board standpoint, if you took half of that and said it was our obligation, 25% of what we're obligating through the agreement annually would go to that for that for that amount. So, you know, we're obligating $100,000. I went back and looked from 2013, when we first started, which I believe was a short year, the 12-13 we spent just under $15,000, and 13-14 fiscal year we spent almost $61,000 for Engage. And this year so far we've spent $69,000, just pulling off the numbers here. So if you look at, you know, our contract says up to $100,000 based on balances in the account and the needs and things like that. So it's $50,000 for this study, and I think that there's some value in the study. But, you know, again, focusing on some of the areas outside of Beatrice, there's a lot of different things that go on in different areas of the county that are different. And how comprehensive is this? You know, what's it look at? How do you make that usable for those folks that are out there? Those are the questions, and not to throw cold water on it, but those are the questions that I would ask to be the devil's advocate, is how broad is this going to be and how beneficial? If it's just to benefit Beatrice, well, that's great, but you know, I think we have to ask the wider question.
Well, and I think any time that we would be involved with it, our planning would have to not only pertain to the city but also the county. So, of course, and I should say that we utilized Smart Solutions, if you think back, the first year, and they helped us with the strategic plan, and, you know, that cost wasn't, you know, it was, there was some, but it wasn't that great. It really, what they helped us with organization, but it was the planning too. But then this last year, first part of the year, we did update that, and I've shared that with you in my quarterly reports, and I'll do that ongoing, but we did update that, and so, and we did that at no cost because we utilized the resources of Nebraska Public Power and Black Hills to help facilitate that. So you know, it's hard. And I pointed that out. You know, we have our plan, and how do you know? Although, at the same time, how do we collaborate in this deal? How do we work with the city, work with the schools, and so on, and kind of be going down the same path. So,
and this was brought up yesterday at lunch. Pat with the schools was talking about that again, and also Pat Radigan. How do we keep going all the same direction? So we're not, somebody's not doing this over here, and we're not possibly duplicating, possibly fighting. So, I mean, that really is a positive. It's going to be a tough thing.
Right.
A lot of personalities, a lot of groups. But if we keep heading somewhat the same direction, or at least bouncing down the same path, there's going to be benefit to everybody.
I say this was an initial proposal, and I understand it can be negotiated. Again, I know that there was not expectations, you know, that we would, you know, put the brunt of the bill. I mean, so, and hard to say, it's all going to have to be coordinated with what the city and school and also good time now to talk about that representation as well.
Well, so, I don't think we shouldn't forget too that School District 15 does not just include the city of Beatrice.
Right.
District 15 has a large rural area as well as the city of Beatrice.
And there's other school districts here too. So
I have 4 kids that are in the Beatrice public school system, and I do not live in Beatrice.
Yeah, that's right.
So, a lot of kids that go there.
Is there anything else, Matt, that we
just
to
reiterate that by June, so I would say at our next meeting, look at this. If you've got any questions, give myself or Glennis or Mike. Let's talk about this, because we need to vote on this at our next meeting.
Our hope is, or my goal is, I guess, at the June 10th meeting, we'd vote on this. We'll get together with the city and make sure any additions or updates to it or whatever we'll have and could have done, so that otherwise we're till the 24th. Before we can vote on it.
I know that.
We'll either be before their meeting or after their meeting, but some of their thoughts or ideas, if we get together and visit with them a time or two and see
what. You kind of figure it'll be the 24th of June?
I would like to vote
next
on it the 10th if we can have the contract updated, but we need more input or comments or whatever.
I want to make it very clear, I'm very, very supportive of Glennis and Engage.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll just make a comment, too. When we started Engage, Matt knows what all the meetings and everything we went through. We didn't have an economic development group, and it seemed like a long process, and it has been, but it also has been a big learning process. And for me to see where we're at today compared to what we started with, I'm pretty amazed. I really am thankful we have what we have, and it's doing what it is doing. Now, I see it actually kind of evolving the way some of our thoughts were way back when. You know, there was a hope. I don't know if we can necessarily tie it to some specific project like Husqvarna, which we, I know that was in the early discussions we on, and that hasn't, but someday that will. But I see a lot of really positive things happening from Engage, and I like a lot of the things that have been going on there. We did have a lot of hiccups, learning curves, a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting now. I know, Matt, when you attend the meetings, what all the discussions are and everything. And
well, and later on in the agenda, just not to make anybody play second fiddle or make you the bridesmaid, but really the Chamber, too, has been a huge partner, and that agreement's coming up as well, and we'll hear from them later, and how they work in concert together. And, you know, when the prior economic development group did go away, the Chamber carried the water for quite a while, and so, you know, that's been a good relationship there, and so I think, you know, we've got a good team and a good process. It just takes time.
So, yeah, your support and input is really, really important to me. And we don't meet again as a board until the end, June 25th. We are a week later than normally.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to be late in June. So I guess in the meanwhile, if you stay in touch with Matt and me on questions, and I have our State Economic Development Association meeting. I will be out of town. Chances are, unless I leave a little, well, no, I'll probably be out of town on the 10th. So so if I could address questions ahead of time, please let me know.
And I don't know if we can get the updated contract done and everything by then, because we'll want the contract completed when we vote to approve that or whatever.
And I think Tobias sent Roger a note today based on their meeting last night. So there wasn't a lot of changes. They just asked for a 90-day I guess notice before the expiration of the contract, so we had a little bit more time.
Okay.
I think that was the main thing that they're looking at, and then, like I say, they'll
vote
on
some of the major ones are is I see the county wanting to continue the funding up to $100,000 a year for up to 3 years.
I don't want to poke anybody in the eye, but the members of the boards have representation there. You know when it's coming up. So whether there's
right.
a 90-day...
That's true. Yeah, that's right. I know.
We've talked about it for a while, and I think they have too. So if they're comfortable with the 90, but we're there.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be asleep at the wheel. We should know it's coming. We should know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The 10th also, I don't know. You and I will be in Kearney or going to Kearney.
No,
I don't know what time we leave.
We don't leave until after dinner on the 10th.
That's what that is.
Kearney meeting starts that afternoon.
I didn't have a time written down, but I didn't know if that was morning or afternoon.
Every year we're here for, unless our meeting goes real late, then we're late out there. But we'll have our 10th board meeting here. No, you don't get to leave early.
And I should say, too, I'm just going to add that I'm very supportive of the tourism. I've maintained as chair of the tourism advisory board for this last year, too. I've also served as Engage executive director. So good connection there as well, because tourism brings in dollars to our community as well. So thank you.
And the one other thing, thank you, Glennis, but, what John or some of the others have, too, if they wanted to change or we need input on if you wanted to change the at our annual meeting, that membership vote, if we wanted to change that. I'm fine at leaving it where it's at. We each have one vote instead of voting by the dollar amount.
What's the input level then? Private business can invest $1,000 and be a voting member for?
I think it's $2,000.
$2,000.
For private.
No, the cities was $1,000 originally.
Cities was $1,000, but
the cities originally made $1,000, like Adams and Cortland did.
I think we left it at the $1,000 level. There's a municipal membership for $1,000, and then there's Catalyst membership that was added in. So there's a $1,000 level for a private investor that would also be a voting member. Okay? But below that, there's advocate and associate, and they are just supportive but not voting members.
I guess I would say it has worked in the past and probably will continue to, but I don't like the setup. I could see issues with it down the road.
So we'll try and have a little bit of discussion in our committee meetings, the Monday before the 10th, it'll be the 8th or whatever. And then unless we can't get the contract done by the 10th, the changes, whatever changes, or unless there's more input or feedback, we will try and as a county to vote on it on the 10th of June.
As soon as I get that from Glass, I'll put something together and shoot it out.
Feedback. Okay.
Before you move forward, I did get a response back from NIRMA that he looked at the building content schedule, and the tower and the shed building is insured for $93,491. The contents or equipment at the site is insured for $30,487 for a total insured of $123,978 at this site. Make sure you indicate on our change form which of these components that you'd like to revise. So there is not a problem with, we just need to let me know, because I have the forms there to increase that, but
what,
give me
what
a
would be the
figure.
Cost of increasing it up to $250,000? That's what I guess more.
You want
that's what
the $250,000
yeah.
figure? Okay.
The replacement cost is $250,000.
Yeah. What will the what will the increased cost be to the county to increase our insurance down there for
right? Does it make sense to increase it? Or
basically, because
pay a big premium,
we've had some real rough quotes of a new tower down there being $250,000
and possibly more if moving equipment, new equipment.
Yep. So,
and that's just on the tower. on the tower. Alone,
no, the, on everything,
on
the
everything?
Equipment, the building, and the tower, everything included.
Oh.
Yep. And unless somebody else. We're going to take a five-minute break. I've seen Doug leave already, so if anybody else is going to speak up, I'll take a five-minute break.
All right.
We're ready to go back, we'll go back into session at 10:30, and we didn't exactly clock out an official time, but we're going to put down 10:25 unless somebody has a better time, because I forgot to mention what time we did get take a break or whatever. But we're going back in session at 10:30. Next up. Discussion and approve or disapprove the purchase of vehicular and courthouse repeaters.
I assume you'd like me to come up and talk.
Yes.
I brought some fresh handouts here at Chairman's request, and this is pretty much the same as it was at the last meeting, but just to make sure everybody got a copy, and then I kind of put the amounts of proposed quantities or the numbers of equipment needed on top for a quick reference sheet, and then the attachments below that are the quotes that give the differences in the repeaters versus the one that originally they had, the beta tested, the BRX-1000, and then the pricing that Motorola has agreed to give us for the bigger repeaters that were more expensive. They're agreeing to sell those to us again at the same price of the VRX-1000s that are not currently in manufacturing yet. They're still working out a couple of things in the software and things to make it compatible. So that's kind of the rough breakdown. On the front page there, I listed those totals there. To break that down just a little bit, I guess, we kind of touch base on the amounts of vehicular repeaters that would be needed pending the CIR ruling and stuff. So what I kind of did is the 11 and then the 14. And so that is pending on three of the units, whether they would be in service or not. And then I broke it down for the jail and the emergency management. A little bit at the committee meeting, was some discussion about whether we needed three or not for the jail with the current transport van, the lieutenant's unit, and then the old transport or the new transport van. My thought on that, my discussion on that at the committee meeting was that we need a repeater in whatever vehicle we're going to have, whether we man it as much or not, so that when we do use it, once we exit that vehicle and we use that portable radio, we have that ability to communicate. If we don't, we're relying on simply the towers that are around us and the connection between that portable to the tower. With the repeater, basically what it does is it takes a transmission from that portable and it pushes it back out that mobile radio, which is a lot higher wattage. So the other thing that we don't have figured in here is any extras, so that if one breaks down, or goes out of service for maintenance or repair, then we're without a vehicle that has a repeater. So my thought would be this is that if we put one in the older of the transport vans, then when that unit goes out of service at whatever point that is down the road, then we have that one sitting there on the shelf, that we can use just like we do with other components that we use in cars now, that if something goes out, we replace it, we order a new one, or we get it repaired, And then we exchange it back out, and we have one that we can keep us running. Oh, I thought you had a comment.
I do, but I'm tempered today.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Wants to bring Roger Pye back.
No. So I'm not understanding on all the repeaters, because total 11 here and then total 14, but I think that's 11 and 3 to get 14. We don't need 11 and 14, 25, right?
I'm sorry, one more time?
One more time. Number needed with existing newer patrol units, depending on CIR ruling, do we need 11 plus 3 for CIR, or do we need 11 plus 14 or 25?
No, we need 11 plus 3. So that would be, that was in parentheses there, it says total. Depending upon the CIR ruling, we would need 3 remaining units if they're replaced for the total of 14.
Okay, and the jail and EMA, though, there's
3 and 3.
3 or 3 and 3?
3 and 3.
Okay.
Yeah, the total.
So we need 20 units.
That would be the high end. If we went with all the units, it would be 20. It would be 17 if we didn't go with those 3 for the CIR.
And that's at $6,082.40 per unit.
That is correct. So for 17 units, plus the courthouse repeater, that would be a total of $119,030.30. If we went with the 20 units plus a courthouse repeater, that'd be $137,277.50. Again, that does not include a spare built into that or an extra one built into that. I guess if I would think that the way that it might be best served so that we don't have to come back is if we move forward with this, my recommendation would be to move forward with up to the amount, approve up to the amount of 20 units for the $137,277.50. Then if we don't need them, we simply don't buy them. And then saves us that additional money. If with the cost savings that they've given us on this pricing, if we went with 20 units, it would be about $33,030 that we're saving with this current pricing that they're giving us versus the regular old pricing on the units versus the newer pricing.
And how long is this pricing good for?
Well, we don't know that. That's a little bit unknown. That's the reason why we're getting this pricing, and we touched a little bit on this on the committee meeting last week, was there's another county that's either looking to come onto the system or they're pricing out this system, and so they're building into the repeaters right off the bat into their vehicles. So Motorola has agreed to give them the pricing for the current repeaters that are available. For the price on the those VRX-1000s that we beta tested here.
Comments?
So you need this so you can use the system that we were sold.
So I guess we just need a dollar amount, and we got to buy them. That's my opinion.
I know we've had comments in the past, and this board's been pretty disappointed in the fact that this has cost more than what we were, I guess, kind of sold. And I you know our feelings on that.
I absolutely
and
do.
You know where we're coming at from that. And
and to aid us.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just make the comment. No, it for safety of our officers and for the need and to complete the so-called system, we may not have a choice whether or not to go ahead and do this. But I also will tell you that there has been a lot of comments from this board, and not just Matt, but everybody, and in committee meetings and everything, right, about the disappointment of the fact that what we thought we were going to have, we haven't been, it hasn't been fulfilled.
Correct.
So, and you know that, and we're not here picking on you.
I understand that.
But we have to direct our ire at somebody. So
why do you pick out the guy with the pistol?
Because I got another guy in the back with one that helped us out here. I mean,
I take him to the range.
It is frustrating. I guess it's more frustrating for this board than anything that we that you even have to come back for this. I guess that's
I agree.
The frustrating part.
I agree.
We realize I think you've updated us pretty good on the need. And for the safety of our guys out there, that when they're in that situation, and then especially when we have something happen like in Omaha this week and stuff, and you see that, and mm-hmm. we realize the importance of the safety for our deputies and what you guys go through and what a lot of people, it takes special people to do those jobs. And we realize that. But I guess there are times when we can't stand it anymore. We have to express a little frustration.
I understand that. And to aid a little bit in your concern and some of the things that you've expressed here and we have talked about in the past, that the last four pages that I've also included here are additional to what I included in that first packet, and some of these were previous discussions and early on in this process, and I'm kind of even going back to when the previous emergency management director was here, Mark Meitz, and that we looked at some of the mapping and the unknowns and the in-building coverage and the discussions that we had about that. And then the last one is an email when Mike Jeffries asked us about how the system is going and, you know, what we think, and, you know, that kind of sums it up a little bit in a nutshell right there as to our general feelings on this. And, you know, I've only included that just so you understand that it's not just you that feels the way that we feel, and that part of the user agreement that we have with them is that they will work with us to improve these things and explore additional sites, and that's something that I plan on personally, you know, pursuing till we keep them, you know, to where we can make the system better at their expense.
Terry.
Matt, I'll ask, or Myron, I'll ask Matt's question, where's the money come from?
Yeah, that's my question, too.
That's a great question.
Okay, cool.
Well, let's arm wrestle over that a little bit, because what's the timeline for need? Obviously, you probably needed these yesterday, which is why you're asking today. But yes. Realistically, we're, you know, if we go up to $138,000, not to exceed that amount, just to pick a number out there, again, I look at Gus. He's hiding behind Mr. Ty over there. How much money you got in your – I mean, I can see it. But I think, you know, it is – it's a public safety issue that crosses several different departments. You know, obviously it's going to be in your cars, but there's something that's going to be here at the courthouse. And so, you know, we need to find a place up to and including potentially an inheritance fund to use those. You know, we've got about just a little over $2.8 million in inheritance fund. And, you know, if we wait another 2 months for the next budget year to do that, then – you've asked us for something you needed yesterday that we're putting off 60 days, roughly. Maybe not.
The short answer is we needed these from the very beginning, and, you know, without trying to shove anything down anybody's throat and keep, you know, ramming this, and that's why we did the beta testing, you know, on this cheaper one to hopefully, you know, ease that burden a little bit to the county. And so then we've completed that. We've got this, and now this pricing is relatively new within the when I brought it to the board previously. So to say that this is a luxury, it's not. I mean, it's absolutely a safety issue and a necessity, and I don't think we have the luxury of waiting until the next budget year is my personal opinion.
Eric?
What are we getting on the courthouse repeater? That one's 2.5 times the price of the mobile repeaters.
It does.
Does that give us something else?
Or? Yeah, well, it does. We touched a little bit about that. Basically, it's a stationary mounted unit. There's a power supply that comes with that. It's essentially another Apex mobile radio that is with that. So you have the price of a radio and the repeater. We had that discussion at the committee meeting that there is a chance that $15,000 amount, we may be able to take the cost of a mobile radio off of that amount if we end up not having as many units for repeaters after the CIR ruling. So that could potentially, I don't want to say an exact amount, but it could save us $5,000-$7,000 off of that amount if it came to that, yes.
Will that have an antenna off the courthouse here where it'll work?
Yes, we've already done that. We're currently using our deployable repeater that we have here that is a field-use repeater, and we just have it kind of temporarily situated in the communications room. And we added two antennas, one on the courthouse here some time back, and then we have another one located in the building. And that picks up the signal from the repeater or the portable to the repeater and then back out to another antenna to the system is what it does.
Sorry, that was the committee meeting I was late to day that you caught me outside.
Okay.
I saw in your one text, is this, or your one email, this tower you're talking about, is that the old cell tower, the abandoned cell tower?
Is it the one that refers to South of Beatrice? Is that on the south edge of Beatrice? No, if you by South 6 Casey's, right by the overpass or viaduct right there, there's that new cell tower there. That was my recommendation to Mike Jeffries, but I don't think that really gained a lot of ground, honestly. But
John?
Doug, are we totally away from using the prior system? Or are we still using that for backup?
We do still use portions of that at times for backup. And when we say the old system, that encompasses a lot of things. Mr. Juergens kind of expressed a little bit of that in the discussion about the Blue Springs Tower that we're going to talk about, communications. But as a clarification, that we don't have our main operating frequency that we use for daily law enforcement on that tower. So that's mostly for fire and paging. Well, for South Fire and, Odell, Marston, Liberty, that area there. What we do, though, is we use that also as part of our backup system for that if we can't communicate or if something would go down, we can switch to either to South Fire, and we can also utilize that. We have that in all of our portable and our mobile units and all our vehicles. And then we can also communicate with any of the rural fire end users at a scene, for traffic control or when the ambulance goes south to Wymore, they switch to South Fire, and then we also have that we utilize back and forth. So that it is, but it isn't.
Okay. Now, wasn't the intent to go away from that at some point in time?
I'm sorry?
Wasn't the intent to go totally away from that system at some point in time?
But when we say that system, there are portions of it, yes, and I think more of so of it is the PD main portion of that we utilize, or that the police department utilized. Now, our officers or our deputies, we kept our old radios to save some money, and so that we can communicate directly with them on our mobile units, and then we communicate directly with them on our portable units, which are dual band. And so we do still use that, but you may recall, like in Cortland, that tower is down. So we no longer can use that in that area, and as maybe northwest into Claytonia, that whenever that tower is replaced, then, Northwest Fire and North Fire have become our redundancy, our backup for those areas then.
At some point in time, those are going to go out of service, from whatever. Is this going to get us to where we won't need it as much as backup or won't need it as backup?
That certainly is the hope. It's the expectation. It's the mobile coverage, and, I don't want to keep touting that. That's what the system is, a mobile-based system. And if we're able to communicate with our mobile radios from our portables to the repeaters, that should give us that mobile-based coverage that we need. There will always be those areas that we still have, and no matter what system that are going to be a little sketchy at times, but, hopefully if they ever get around to putting another tower up somewhere, that should give us redundancy and additional coverage to use in those areas. So,
Eric, will this put us to where we own our own system then? I don't understand still the statewide. I guess I'm still in the...
We own the equipment that we're speaking about today and the current equipment that we have as far as the end users. So when we talk about our patrol cars, the radios that are in there and the repeaters and things of that, we as a county own that equipment. We are end users or shared users of the statewide radio system. So that gives us, the accessibility to all the towers across the state, then that we can access any of those towers or communicate with those people that are also end users on the state system.
What do they own here in the state or in our county?
Well, they own a tower on the west part of the county, towards the county line there. They own that. I shouldn't say they own that. I don't know who owns that tower off the top of my head. It's they own their
equipment on it.
Their equipment on that tower. There's a Sterling Tower. They own the equipment on that. There's a Cheney Tower south edge of Lincoln. That maybe in the northern part of the county we would access that. And I think we also access at times when we're kind of in the Barnston, Liberty, and South 77 area, another tower further into Pawnee County.
Otherwise, you're using all county equipment for towers, antennas.
everything else. Very, very small amount of any statewide anything.
Well, we don't actually have any state-owned equipment in our vehicles or that we utilize. We
but,
just,
I mean, as far as bouncing off their towers, we're really not using their antennas much at all.
We're using their towers. When we key up our radio, our signal would go to their tower, and then it would go back through the tower back to, say, the dispatch center or to a trooper or Nebraska State Patrol or another end user.
It is. So that's what I was wondering. We're not going to, like, our towers at Barnston or like, the one that was at Cortland. It's actually going to a state system antenna.
Yes, they have two master sites, or they have one master site and a redundant backup site that are located completely, you know, different directions from each other. So if one of their master sites would go down, they have the second one that they, it automatically transfers everything to there, so they stay operational. And in Nebraska and Public Power District and the State Patrol, they work together to manage that system.
And the repeaters in the cars, that's what's going to give us the oomph to get out to those couple of antennas.
That will give us the oomph, as you describe it, from our portables to the mobile units so that we have better in-building and on-the-street coverage with our handheld radios.
Need a motion, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, we need a motion.
Okay, I will make a motion to approve the purchase of the vehicular and courthouse repeaters in the dollar amount not to exceed, and I'm going to round it off, not to exceed $137,300, with the funds coming from inheritance.
Have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
A motion by Bauman, second by Byers.
By rationale and discussion, I was just flipping through papers. Pardon me being rude. It looks like we started the year with $2.36 million in inheritance. Current balance based on the fund balance I received. If this is current, oh, that's not the current one. That is the current one. From 5615, it looks like there's 2.873, so a little over $500,000 in receipt from inheritance fund came in, and that's non-local property tax based on, that's not coming off the levy is what I'm saying. That's not additional costs. So those are those inheritance funds that we talk about that we've used for other capital expenditures in the past. So that was my rationale, because anywhere else at this time in the budget, there's nowhere else we have any money budgeted for that, unless we piece and parcel from everybody and rob Peter to pay Paul out of four or five different cost centers. This will keep it one place. We can designate it. We can watch it. That's why. That was my rationale for that.
More discussion? Vote. 6-0. Motion approved.
Thank you.
Discussion and approve or disapprove giving notice to Tammy's Cleaning on termination of agreement. Hold it, Dave. Yeah, I guess.
I just asked because they've been sitting there.
Yeah, the tourism. Let's go ahead and do the tourism first. Sorry, Dave. Approve or disapprove Gage County tourism agreement. Thank you. You guys have been sitting here the whole time.
You need a motion to approve?
Yeah, I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Thiemann to approve the Gage County Tourism Agreement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I also want to introduce to you Abby Shademan. She's the new tourism director, Gage County Tourism Director. I will tell her a little bit about herself. I will say that she graduated on a Saturday and she started on a Wednesday, and that's the day that we took off to go to York for brochure swap, so she jumped right in. So, Abby?
Well, I guess a little bit about myself. I graduated from Wayne State College on Saturday, May 8th, with a degree in speech communication with a focus in organizational leadership and public relations with a minor in theater. It is a mouthful, so I had to breathe there a little bit. I'm originally from Columbus, and I'm excited to be down here in Beatrice, so new adventure.
Welcome to the community.
Thank you.
Abby does have chamber experience and event experience. So she came prepared, and she knows what she's getting into. So it's great. Thank you. Any questions about the contract?
Yeah.
No, we'll go that way.
Thank you for being here, but yes.
Okay,
no,
you can go sit down.
Appreciate that. Yes, sure. Very much. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, Jim's handing out Homestead Day stuff.
Good.
We're advertising.
We also have playhouse tickets for sale if anybody wants to buy a Crooked Playhouse for their kids or grandkids. Or
what if Terry just wants it?
Chicken house.
Chicken house. A chicken house.
It's too cute for a chicken house.
He's got a big chicken he can put in. Sorry.
And our agreement needs to be renewed.
Our agreement needs to be renewed. We've had it for 2 years, I believe. Is that right, Jim? 3 years?
3 years.
So we're asking for the same renewal for the contract. I do think it's a good partnership working with the county for the chamber to manage the position.
And explain a little bit the agreement. Eric, why you were on the city before, so you weren't on here. So, I mean, these are funds that...
These are the funds. We receive the 2% promotion funds that the county collects as far as lodging tax. And so we're asking for that full 2% to come back to the chamber to help manage the position. Those funds are used for marketing and salary and housing of Gage County Tourism Director. The chamber does cover a portion of those expenses as well. So I think that's important for you to know is, you know, and the chamber is willing to continue to do that because we think it's vital to Beatrice in our area to have a tourism representative. So, and her job and our job is to continue to promote not only Beatrice, but Gage County and the surrounding area. With a new tourism director, one of the things we're going to put in place this year is making sure she's involved in all the communities in Gage County, which really hasn't happened a lot in the past. I feel really passionate about. So she'll be out and about a lot more than in the past. So...
And my other question, then, probably as much to Jim and Roger as anything, is there any changes in that contract?
No, there was no change.
No, correct.
Yeah, just dates only.
Okay.
And just a statement that we approve the improvement funds whenever they come forward. And if you go to the county, is the Visit Nebraska group that comes down, there's a real push to expend those funds. There's been a history of some counties rolling a balance and saving those as sinking funds for certain things. That is
right.
Not the intent. The intent is to spend those. And if you look at how we've used those here, whether it be the former Rice Hospital that's now a bed and breakfast, we've got the Welsh Center down there, but there's the cabin in Blue Springs, multiple ball diamonds here, and how we've been able to improve the community. I don't want to, it sounds bad to say, but we're spending somebody else's money because it's not local tax dollars. Those come from lodging taxes that are collected from other people coming here. And the better we make our community, the more people that will come back here and consequently fund that fund more.
Right.
And
we
can
numbers. If you look at the numbers of the racetrack, the ball diamonds, the everything that we generate in this community because these activities is just incredible. I you can't even imagine the numbers until you see them.
And I will make two more comments on that. We are down this year right now over 20% in lodging tax. And that is directly related to, and it's great for Beatrice that the industries are here, but when you rent a hotel room on day 31, you no longer collect lodging tax. Because then it becomes a short-term rental and you don't collect lodging tax on that. A lot of our hotel rooms right now are being used by the temporary workers that are in town. So lodging tax has taken a decrease. So we're monitoring that. That means the chamber is going to have to step it up a little bit to help that. The other thing that I will say are the 2% improvement funds. The legislature, when it was originally created, had kind of some... not dedicated language. They've changed that now. Those funds can also be used to help support salary and for a tourism director and help support promotions if needed. So,
and I'll make one more comment too. Some of these, several have sat on some boards with some other county officials, and every now and then they'll have discussion about different things, and one of them has been lodging tax. And there's some of them really envious out there of the fact of like Gage County and the amount
that
you can here in southeast Nebraska, because some of them maybe have one hotel or something. You know, they're really struggling how to find dollars
to
promote
something
like this.
To do the promotion and marketing, absolutely.
Gage County is very, very fortunate that we have the hotels or motels and the different lodging sources for revenue for this that we have.
So. We are. And I have kind of a vision to have Gage County become more of a leader in this geographic region as far as tourism goes. With Heritage Highway 136, which is struggling right now to even stay as an organization, and Southeast Nebraska Travel Association, they're also going through some struggles. And so kind of going to hopefully help those two organizations a little bit and kind of make Beatrice and Gage County more of the hub and more of the central, because it helps us all.
Roger.
Actually, it is a two-by-two, in other words, two-year term, automatic renewed for two, and that is the same as we've had.
Okay.
A few years ago, instead of having the two and the three, we had discussions, so we opted to do a compromise, two plus two, and that's what this one does, too.
Okay.
Just to, so the record's right.
Any more discussion?
Just on those other two organizations, are you going to kind of suck them in and the Heritage Highway and the... Southeast Nebraska Tourism.
We're not going to suck them in. We're just going to provide leadership and help them. The Heritage Highway 136, I'm not sure what's happening with that at this point. And I have not personally gotten involved in those, but I am going to step forward a little bit and see if we can't. Because right now there's a huge question about if that group's even going to survive and if we're even going to have a trail of treasures in October. And that's Highway 136, huge garage sale that brings all kinds of people, and we can't lose that. And last year was the first year that Beatrice even had a decent presence in that, and I want to see that continue. So that's kind of where we're at. So.
Thank you, Lori.
It's important. Tourism is important.
Any more discussion? Vote 6-0 to approve the contract.
Thank you.
Thank you. New agreement. Thank you for coming and waiting patiently. Now back to discuss and approve or disapprove giving notice to Tammy's Cleaning on termination of agreement. Now, Dave. Thank you. Yeah. Come on. No.
Beginning of May, when lightning did strike the dispatch center, they were forced to move here, and they keep their doors locked after hours. Tammy's Cleaning has been cleaning down there at the probation offices. I had several phone calls from Mark saying that Wani had, because of the flooding and stuff, he was involved with that, so he didn't clean that weekend. And then he called another evening and said that the place was locked and he could not get in. So Rosie and I have been going down and cleaning probation pretty much the month of May. While I was down there, they did talk to me and ask if they could make some changes for the better that would work with them. And we do have a line item in building and grounds for part-time help, so I started thinking maybe if I could hire a part-time person that could take over cleaning, probation, and the sheriff's department during working hours, that might be another option of doing it. And the trouble I think we have is when we do bid this out and they go in and they do their amount of work that they think needs to be done with that bid, and then they leave, where with us, we'd have the option if we do need to stay down there a little longer or something, we'd be getting paid an hourly rate and hopefully do what needs to be done.
Part of why this is on the agenda in the contract we currently have with them, there's a 30-day notice, and that's what we'd be voting on here is a 30-day termination.
Right. And Dave would bring back then a proposal, you know, as far as part-time help and what have you, once we take this action. But after visiting with the people that he has mentioned relative to these issues, I think we definitely need to do this termination. And I would move to give notice Tammy's Cleaning terminate our agreement.
Second. We talked also, there's other stuff, you know, it'd help in other ways, too, just having that extra person for...
What I would like to see would be we can always use extra help here also, so I'm hoping that with the extra help we'll be able to do those, but I'd also use that part-time person here quite a bit also.
And dollar swaps, too. We weren't looking at, as far as I understood, we weren't looking at increasing a lot of money. It was just changing from spending here to an in-house
right.
person.
Now, does probation prefer to have it cleaned during working hours?
They said that would work fine with them, yeah.
Okay. No real preference one way or the other?
No.
As far as before or after?
And the agreements we're giving notice for is at the probation office and at the sheriff's department.
Correct.
Those two agreements. More discussion? Vote 6-0.
Thank you, Dave.
Discussion on county wind farm regulations. And Matt?
I'll just start.
Yeah.
We had the group of folks that had been designated to go and be part of the Lancaster Wind Regulation
Work group.
What was the name of it? They had a big, long name, you know, typical government fashion. But actually, it was very valuable. It did a wonderful job. A lot of science was presented there. Very impressed. Thought it was would have been nice if there had been something like that years ago. But I thought it was very valuable. So we met after having gone to several meetings. We met upstairs here and kind of decompressed. What did people hear? What did people think? Kind of talked about where we thought we needed to be. And I think that, I'll just throw out, we're looking probably at increasing the setback from a non-participating landowner. The actual distance is to be determined. We're looking at lowering the decibels. 60 decibels is, based on the science we saw and the empirical data presented, is too high. And it creates a noise, a level that could actually be harmful to human beings. So we wanted to be sensitive to that and interruption of sleep cycles. So we talked about that. We talked about what an appropriate setback could be from a subdivision that was out in the rural areas. If there's a cluster of homes, does that need to be taken care of?
An existing subdivision.
Yes. And then we talked about maybe tightening up the decommissioning regulations. They're not real clear and they're a little vague, but we thought we should clear those up a little bit. And then I think my impression was generally that the intent was to not make the regulations so punitive that you could not have any wind production in Gage County. I think the intent is a coexistence. And I think we're working towards that. It'll probably be less than it potentially was because we're taking into account non-participating landowners. And then there was a very brief discussion about, because of the size of Gage County, do you take into account the concept of wind districts where there's population density is less? Do you allow for more wind turbines to be located in that area? And then where the density increases, then you decrease that. So some different concepts we talked about, but that's kind of the general. And Lisa was there as well, and John. So
if you'd done. Like to come up and talk too, yeah.
Yes, you're correct. We talked about single wind energy systems. We have two types of regs in Gage County, single wind energy systems and then the commercial, which is an aggregated project, which is what we have down here. We have two single energy system permits that have been actually granted in Gage County, although they never went up, but they went through the process, and that was back in the early stages of our wind reg. So on the single wind energy, you guys had a hearing here, help me out, back in February maybe, by the ENS feedlots. What we're finding is that most of those towers, the provisions are state guidelines of 25 kilowatts per unit, generally aren't higher than 100 to 140, or excuse me, 135 foot. So is that possibly something that our group wants to look at? Is it being regulated by the zoning administrator instead of having to go through the public hearing process? Because if you compare the size of that, most generally they're a monopole structure. The one that was proposed earlier was, I think it's a 9-inch diameter. And so typically we have legs out there, agricultural buildings and so forth, they're much higher. So is that something that we needed to discuss? Since then, too, all of you can go to Lancaster County's website for wind energy, but they have a synopsis of all the discussions, you know, property tax valuations and those discussions. But as all of you as board members, the county liability, you know, as a board member sitting on right up here, is probably the biggest thing, is what liability do you have as a county member if you approve a particular project. And the Lancaster County Attorney's Office determined that there was no case law that would actually indicate a case of action because of the political subdivision, the Quick Claim Tort Act. And so I found that interesting that people use that, obviously, for many reasons, but it does hold up in court, and it raises its defense for the fact of doesn't hold the county liable because of the Quick Claims Tort Act itself. Although most of your complaints as holders of the enforcement of our county know that you try to make the taxpayers happy. So, let's see, what else was there?
Unhappiness is not actionable.
I know, but you're voted by the people and you represent the people, and that's most important. So, but I think their long-term goal is to have a discussion again, but we're going to go back to the zoning board, and because they have not been able to, we didn't present our overall findings, and so we meet the 11th of this month. And so help me out, Myron. Then it's a matter of discussing and then going forward for public.
What we talked about
meetings.
Was a group of, as having a meeting, a public meeting first, and public kind of informational meeting somewhere. Once we come up with, I guess, a better understanding of what we're actually going to propose as changes, and then have a public meeting so that we can present those and people can come have viewpoints or discussions at that before we actually go in front of the zoning board with a public hearing and before we actually come in front of this board with a public hearing, just because of the volume of interest that's been about with Lancaster County and everything. So that's one thought that we've had, is that discussion that we'll probably have sometime here yet in the next couple months. Don't know when. We haven't set no date or anything, but and we will make that all known to everybody too when we have a public informational meeting.
The determination on the DBAs, I guess, that was something that how do you determine, actual DBAs. And so then through a pre-construction study, they would determine the DBAs currently, and then once it's on site, or not once it's on site, but the modulation, I guess, would be determining. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but that's right. How I understood how you would claim what your actual DBA measurements are.
I guess that's the one thing that somehow we need to make it very clear on our regulations, that it's both the distance setback that's very easy to understand, and it's the decibel limit that's, is also part of that setback and may exceed the actual physical distance. And that's somewhat what's happened with this one. Lancaster County was not overly concerned about the distance setback at 1,000 feet because they knew that the decibel level was going to make it farther back than that. And it was going to be independent based on each one on those sound studies. And we don't want a company to invest time when, they're not taking that into consideration from the start.
The other thing we discussed was to review our regs every 3 years because of technology that continually changes. We're at the 3-year or 4-year mark too, but we know lots of things have changed since we started this process. So, as to the need of Hannah Keelan, we didn't discuss it as a commission, but as so far we've heard a lot more. I think we're able to come up with some suggestions.
I'll just make one more quick comment. It's been in the paper in the last week or two, too, about Lancaster County did have and make theirs. Their new proposals at a public meeting here a week ago or whatever, and then there was articles in the paper about Boltzmann making a comment that was so restrictive that they wind farms might not be able to build in that area with those restrictions. So
publicly heard that from Boltzmann. It's going to be very limited as to what they're going to be able to do because of their current contract with their carrier for their turbines.
An article in the paper again. In the next couple of weeks here, we hope to have a few more of us meet again and come up with exactly what we intend to propose going forward with, and then we'll make that available to everybody and then have an informational meeting for the public sometime in the future here where everybody can come and give their input also at that time or ask questions about what the proposed changes are. Thank you very much, Lisa. Yeah. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Lisa.
Next up, did have closed session on here for Bruce Lang for communications director. Did visit with Bruce. Both of us felt there's really not at this time any need to go into closed session. We're more going to discuss about, since they've gone with Crete now, and the possibility of the county being a part of or with police department as a having your communications director and what maybe that would entail.
Okay. Thank you. Bruce Lang, Chief of Police for the City of Beatrice. Thanks for having me here today. Starting July 1st, Southeast Nebraska 911 Center becomes real. It starts then. We will begin dispatching for the City of Crete's Police Department, Fire, and Ambulance Departments, in addition to the other law enforcement agencies that we dispatch, such as the Gage County Sheriff, the Wymore Police Department, and the Homestead National Monument Police and the Beatrice Police, in addition to the fire and rescue departments that are in Gage County as well. As a part of those discussions, there was expansion. We're adding dispatchers, and we are going to add a director to that because as this system grows, it needs a person to manage that function. During those early discussions, there was some interest shown by the county that you also had some communications needs and in the county as far as someone, the term I like to use, the all-knowing soothsayer of radio stuff. And because there's not one point person to when a tower repeater goes down in the county or a voting station is no longer available or needs to be replaced, and all of those issues that you did not really have a person to oversee those things, that possibly this director could take on those duties. And as my mother once said, there's no free lunch, so there would be a cost associated with that, and so that's what we're here to talk about. If, in fact, you're interested in doing that and to what degree you're looking to do that. But I guess I want to be clear at the front. The director position is not contingent on that. There's going to be a director of the 911 center irregardless of that. So we're mainly here to talk about whether you need some services from that person, and then if so, you know, what that would cost. So with that, I answer questions that you might have going forward.
Yeah, we've had a lot of questions too. We talked about it in committee meeting, and
okay.
What responsibilities, I guess, do we as a county are we going to require from this person when
right.
we enter to the contract or
right.
whatever? And I guess that's a lot of what our questions are, our thoughts are. We don't want to go 2 years down the road and we didn't talk about that earlier. It
right.
shouldn't have been in there. And we just feel that it's important that we have that discussion now.
Sure,
so
sure. And unfortunately, we don't know what we don't know. And so my suggestion is that let's do this on a relatively short time frame, maybe a year, and then we'll come back in a year and see, A, how much you've used it, that person, how valuable that person is to you, do you need them more or less? Are we finding that we can't afford to have that person gone as much? You know, we both have interests to look at. And since this is new, we're speculating on both sides of the fence here. So, you know, something reasonable for a year starting in July would be, I think, a reasonable approach if you're interested. If not, again, I'm not here trying to sell a used car. If that's something we can, a service we can help you with, because it's all hooked together. And as you learned with Doug here, and I'll just touch on that just briefly, you know, this is a part of the big picture. We just ordered a new dispatch console. Thank you, Mother Nature, because she struck our other one with lightning. However, that new dispatch console, which will allow us to hook into the statewide radio, was $200,000 more than the old system. So there's a buy-in by all of us to make this work in the county, and so that director would have some understanding of, you know, of the whole system, and I think that's of great value. So.
Well, we as a county, we were very fortunate to have Mark Mainz do what he did for all those years. He
yes,
was an emergency management person, but yet he
understood it.
Basically kind of got it put upon him to be the communications person or take care of all of our equipment.
Right.
When we hired Tim, part of what we told Tim at that time was, don't worry about it, you're not going to do any communication right. stuff. Well, guess what?
And that's exactly right.
Tim realizes we as a county, we need somebody to do that, and we don't have a specific person or position for that. So
right.
we're thankful when somebody does step up and
I understand
they,
that.
They do that. So.
So I don't know how you want to proceed with it forward. You know, there's no secret in the numbers here. We're probably talking about $20,000 for your share. The director is going to cost us about $85,000 with benefits. So that's probably a 20, 25%, somewhere in that ballpark. If we want to twist each other's arms over, you know, a little money here or there, that's fine. But that's probably the number you're probably looking at. Anything less than that is not worth messing with. You know, it's such a small percentage, and then I think that's not fair to either one. And then I do want to add one last thing is, as I mentioned to Myron, we haven't hired this person yet. We're getting ready. We've taken applications, and we would certainly have your member be a part of the hire, you know, of the interviews and the selection and input into the selection process.
We visited a committee meeting a little bit about coming up with some responsibilities or, I guess, expectations from the county, and we'll work on that some more and get some more of those to you. But my other thought was we've heard a little bit of talk about this communication director or something. You're going to have another board maybe with CREE. We're just hearing that. And I
Well, let me explain how that works. Actually, we're not creating anything new.
Okay.
Your current contract that you have with us creates an advisory board. It creates a overall advisory board. We're simply going to split that into fire and law enforcement because we found that the two advisory boards don't they have different interests, so it's not as productive. CREET being having a contract that was mirrored much after yours will be on this advisory board. That advisory board will meet with the director. They'll talk about procedures, problems, all of those kind of things going forward. So we're really not creating anything new, but that's just part of probably, certainly in the beginning, we're going to be meeting a lot as we work on procedural stuff.
Terry.
Myron, I see this as probably a plus for the county to do this, to enter into this agreement with them, myself. That's just my opinion.
I think generally that's okay. Definitely the feeling of the board is to enter into this agreement with you.
Okay.
It's a plus for us because we're finding out what amount of time it takes for what, like Tim up here again talking about the tower.
Welcome to my world. Wait till you get hit by lightning. You'll find out. I know more about electronics than I ever wanted to know, and certainly.
One day somebody said, well, you need to talk to Bruce, and I says, no, Bruce, don't need no more phone calls.
this has been quite a month.
So we appreciate you very much coming out here and visiting.
No problem. I would suggest that Roger can give you input, simply an addendum to the interlocal that we currently have.
I think that would probably be the
simple. And then, if you want to, however you want to proceed with that, and sometime we'll get that done in June so that we're ready to go July 1st.
Okay.
Does that work?
And we will work and have more discussion on coming up with, I guess, somewhat of a responsibility.
Well, we make sure we cover what it is you'd like to have that person do specifically. If there's certain areas that you want, certain areas that you really want that person to advise you on, do you want that person coming out if a repeater goes out 2 a.m, do you want that person, the one that is going to call Motorola or is going to call this contractor if this fire department's system goes dead or whatever. So. On your end. So
sounds good.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. We've got some work to do.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
No, thank you much, Bruce. Thank you for patiently waiting, too.
No problem.
Yeah. Do we have everything on here except for the last closed session?
I've numbered everything
something.
Off, so I think we're good.
I think we got it.
I think we have. And we are entertain a motion here. We're going
to state this. Oh,
thank you. Don has been on the online here with NERMA, and to increase it to $250,000 down there at Blue Springs, the tower and everything, $182 would be the increase in premium.
That's a yearly premium? Monthly?
What?
No, it's yearly.
Yearly,
yes.
To increase insurance from the 120 or whatever it was, roughly 120, 25,000, up to 250,000.
I would think that would make sense. Too.
I would think that would make sense too, because we do know that if something happened, if Mother Nature took care of that tower, we do know what that's going to cost us to
just make sure
replace.
That
currently, our amount is $178 annually. At the present value, and it would go up to $360 annually, so that's the difference.
Just make sure the wording includes the tower, because the way it's worded now, it's the equipment in the building. And
no, what he told me when he responded the first time, it our breakdown is tower / shed and building. That's
and equipment.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that's for $93,491. Contents, parentheses, equipment at the site is insured for
$30,487. Okay.
Something you might consider too, every so often you usually go through and do an insurance inventory appraisal for that low on something like that. Are there any other property assets that aren't adequately insured? And I have no idea. But talk to Nerman, see, because it's usually it's provided by the carrier.
Yeah, we do a renewal each year. We get the updates on equipments and things like that. And I don't know
if we've ever done that
come down
before.
To do.
In the past, I've given
the Nerman staff comes down.
Okay.
He looked at the information.
Okay.
The Nerman staff comes down and does an inventory, so they're very careful about what
we have. Do they do that every so often, or do we need to request that, I guess?
They do it every so often on a regular basis. I can't remember how often. But
so they do come down here, and they have inventoried and everything, too.
Yes.
But some of my thought, though, is some of these things maybe we need to just, as a board, look over those and see if we think that value is.
Maybe they could just give us a print off of their inventory, like valuations. Mm-hmm. And
they usually do. We usually get that.
That's on our
we have that.
Yeah.
Do we have to move? Do we need any action to do that, or can Don just have them
Don
increase
can just that? Do that one at that amount? Yes, at that amount, we could, for the $182 increase, we can just increase that.
I have a form that I have.
Basically, you're just increasing your insurance payment.
Yeah,
it's within the budget. So,
So
I move we go into closed session to discuss courthouse security issues.
Second.
Been a motion by Byers, second by Thiemann, to go into closed session for courthouse security issues for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of individuals or for the protection of the public interest at 11:26.
All right.
Vote. Oh, sorry. Vote. 6-0.
Ready? I'll get right there.
We entertain a motion to come out of executive session at 12:35.
Essentially, don't support it. That's
yes.
I have a motion. Motion by Hill, second by Byers. Vote. 5-0. Any other things for the Board of Supervisors meeting? Otherwise, we're stand adjourned at 12:35.
There's a rough thing, too. Isn't it?
I don't know.
Really?
Somebody's been...